from the campus of Henry Ford College. We are listener-supported, non-commercial radio, WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. Welcome to another Tuesday morning Radio Vault, and we've got more stuff just for you, hand-curated, as a matter of fact. We're going to kick it off in just a moment with an hour of Jack Benny. We got Dennis's first show on the Jack Benny series from 1939. They actually did the show twice because of the time difference on the West Coast and this part of the country. So there's two different recorded versions. We'll be hearing the West Coast version of the Jack Benny show from October of 1939. Then we will hear the Father's Day show from June 16, 1940. And the special guest was, toward the end of the show at any rate, Ezra Stone, who played Henry Aldridge. I seem to remember Ezra Stone attending at least one of our Friends of Old Time Radio conventions in Newark, New Jersey. We used to have, when a lot of these classic actors, radio actors, were still around. But second Jack Benny show, as I mentioned, the Father's Day show with Ezra Stone. Hour number two, the Great Gildersleeve. And we will be hearing some of the latter day shows from this series. The Great Gildersleeve was, of course, a spinoff of Fibber McGee and Molly. Gildersleeve was originally, I believe, Fibber and Molly's neighbor. But a couple of episodes of Gildersleeve, we're going to follow that by Humphrey Bogart and the Treasure of Sierra Madre from the Lux Radio Theater. That's for hour number three of today's Radio Vault. Thanks for joining us. We do this every Tuesday from 10 in the morning, obviously, until 1 o'clock. Classic moments from radio's ancient past that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So if you're ready, I'm ready to go back to October 8, 1939, and the whole cast of Jack Benny.
Rochester, step on her. We'll be late for the broadcast.
Okay, boss.
Don't turn here. We got to pick up Miss Livingston.
Pick up Miss Livingston?
Yes, and we got to pick up Mr. Harris and Mr. Wilson. This is our first program, and it's up to me to gather my little group together.
What are you, a mother hen?
Never mind what I am. Be careful of those bumps. It's a wonder you wouldn't put a little air in the tires.
There's plenty of air. There just ain't enough tires.
Now, don't be so funny. I've got a brand new one on the front.
Sure sticks out, don't it?
Rochester, just drive. Take it easy. Here we are at Miss Livingston's house now.
There she is, waiting for us.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't she look cute? Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Hello, Rochester.
Hello, Miss Livingston.
Gee, Mary, I called you only 10 minutes ago. I'm surprised to see you all dressed up and waiting for us.
I owe it all to Zippers.
Well, they are very handy. Well, hop in the car. We got to get to the studio.
Okay. Pull those springs down. I don't want to tear my new dress.
All right, get in. There you are.
Ouch, they got me.
Isn't that awful? Rochester, how many times have I told you to fix these seat cushions?
Either 9 or 10.
Oh. Well, I wish I knew what number was bingo with you. Now, get going. We still got to pick up Phil and Don.
Okay, boss.
The motor is a little cold, isn't it?
Gee, Jack, I thought you told me you bought a new car this year.
I said nothing of the kind, Mary. I said I was looking at new cars.
That'll never start a boom.
Rochester, this is a two-way conversation, so keep out of it.
Oh, Jack, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Still driving a 1920 Maxwell.
Now, wait a minute. It's a late 1920. Anyway, in a couple of weeks, I may trade it in.
What are you going to get, a spinning wheel?
Don't be ridiculous.
Ha!
Now, turn here at this corner, Rochester. We got to pick up Mr. Harris.
I think we better stop and get some gas.
Yeah, so we can make it. We only got 5 more blocks to go.
I know, but we've been riding on borrowed time all week.
What are you talking about? Look at that gauge. The needle says full.
You glued it there.
I did not. Now, hurry up. We got to get Mr. Harris.
Where are we going to meet Phil?
Well, he told me to pick him up at Flo's Beauty Parlor. He's probably getting the bags under his eyes pressed.
Oh, Jack, you're always running him down.
I am, eh?
Yes, you're just jealous because Phil's handsome and you're you.
Look, Mary, if you think I'm homely, why don't you come right out and say so?
It was perfectly clear to me.
Rochester, when I want anything decoded, I'll ask you. Until then, hush your mouth. Now, pull over. There's the beauty parlor. Rochester, run in and get Mr. Harris. We haven't much time.
Never mind. Here he comes now.
Oh, yes. Hello, Phil.
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Phil.
Well, how do I look?
Oh, just like Ann Sheridan. Now, get in the car. How do I look? Move over, Mary.
Boy, what an afternoon I had sitting under that hot dryer.
Oh, I can imagine, Phil.
Who does your hair, Phil? Sue or Evelyn?
Oh, I always use Goldie. She can curl rings around the other girls.
You know, Phil, if you'd wave your baton more and your hair less, I'd be a lot happier. Have you any good orchestra numbers prepared for our first show?
Kind of, I know. I haven't seen my boys in a month.
Why, Phil Harris, you mean to say you haven't even rehearsed for our opening program? We'll be on the air in 5 minutes.
All right, so my band will sound spontaneous.
Spontaneous?
Yes, Mary, that's French for lousy. You imagine that? A guy has all summer to get a couple of numbers ready and doesn't do a thing about it.
Ah, stop worrying. My orchestra will sound as good as it did last year.
Yeah, Phil, for your information, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, orchestra better get better, or orchestra better get. Catch on, kid. I'd remember that, Phil. Who are you tooting at, Rochester?
There's Kenny Baker.
Kenny Baker, where?
There he is, sitting on his front porch.
Oh, yes. Hello, Kenny. Oh, Kenny.
He can't answer. He's on another program.
Oh, that's right. Say, Rochester, you better step on it. We still have to pick up Don Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, my.
What are you my-mying about? This car seats 5, doesn't it?
Yeah, but Mr. Wilson seats 2.
Now, there's plenty of room, Rochester. He can sit in front with you.
You know, boss, there's an old Chinese proverb that says, when fat men sit down in small cars sit down also.
All right, Confucius, just drive.
Hey, Jack, isn't that Don Wilson's house there on the corner?
Yeah, there it is.
Look, there's his mother in front selling Jell-O.
Oh, loyal, isn't she? Slow down, Rochester. Oh, Mrs. Wilson! Mrs. Wilson!
What flavor, please?
Strawberry, and where's Donald?
Oh, hello, Mr. Benny. Don's gone ahead to the studio.
Oh, he has. Well, thank you, Mrs. Wilson. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Jell-O, get your Jell-O here. Look for the big red letters on the box.
Isn't she a sweet little lady, huh?
Hey, Jack, look what time it is.
Oh, my goodness. Step on it, Rochester. We'll be late for the first broadcast.
I told you we better get some gas. This miracle can't last.
Well, it's downhill from now on, so hurry.
Okay, boy.
Not too fast. There's no top on this car.
There was when we started.
Oh, did we lose that again? Faster, Rochester, faster.
Darn it, my hair's blowing all over the place.
Well, stop complaining. So is mine.
Yeah, but yours blows right off.
Is that so? Come on, step on it, Rochester. We'll be late. Hurry up.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Merry Old Land of Oz. Well, here we are again, folks, beginning our 6th year on the air for Jell-O. Sounds like a long time, but speaking for myself, I never knew the time could go so fast. as Merry Old Land of Oz is played by the orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as this is our inaugural program of the new Jell-O series, I would like to present our master of ceremonies. Who is he?
Who is he?
To begin with, he's a star of stage, screen, and radio, plays a violin, and was born in Waukegan, Illinois.
Oh, it must be me.
He is humorous, witty, and spends money like a drunken sailor.
Now that throws me off. Oh, well.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, there you are. It's up to you. Who is he?
For heaven's sake, Jack Benny. Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and Don, I am simply amazed at our audience. I've only been off the air 14 weeks. You'd think that somebody would have recognized me.
Well, Jack, you can't exactly blame our guests here tonight. After all, they're strangers.
My father isn't a stranger. Look at him sitting in the second row. He's still guessing. Well, anyway, Don, it's sure good to be back on the air again, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is. You know, Jack, I'm much happier when I'm working than when I'm laying off.
Me too, Don. My mattress is nearly empty. What have you been doing this summer, Don? Did you have a nice vacation?
Well, Jack, I didn't do much of anything. I just got on my yacht and took a cruise up and down the coast. It was a lot of fun.
You got on your yacht? Why, Don, do you own a yacht?
Oh, sure. I bought one last July. It's a tremendous thing.
Well, that's quite a surprise. You mean to say you bought a yacht on
Well, I was pretty lucky in the stock market this summer, Jack.
Oh, you must have been, Don. You must have been. Well, that was nice, Don. I'm glad you had such a grand summer. And you know, I've never seen you looking better. You've lost weight, haven't you?
Yes, boating in the salt air will do that for you. I've lost 5 pounds.
5 pounds? That's like Boyle Heights losing a herring. Geez, I'm glad we didn't kill that one, brother.
Wait
5 pounds, huh?
Well, it's a start anyway. By the way, Jack, what did you do on your vacation?
Well, I want to do something different this year, Don. So Rochester and I just piled into my car, took a tent along, and toured the whole country. You know, we sort of led the gypsy life.
Oh, the gypsy life, huh?
Yeah, Rochester read tea leaves, and I played the fiddle. Oh, we did just dandy in Memphis. And, oh, Don, I must tell you something. Just a second. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Is this your first program of the season?
It certainly is. Are you enjoying it?
Yes, but don't go by me. Goodbye.
I won't, lad. Don't worry. Well, anyway, Don, say, what was I talking about?
Jack, you were telling me all about your vacation.
Oh, yes, and I must tell you what happened when I was... I'll tell you later, Don. Here comes Mary.
Hello, Joe. What do you know? I'm back again on the Jell-O Show. I hope I make you laugh a flea. You might as well. It's all for free.
Well, give her a hand. Well, it was really nice to you, Mary. I didn't get a reception like that.
Hello, Mary. It's sure good to see you again.
Oh, hello, Don. Say, what happened to you? You look marvelous.
Well, thanks. I've been taking pretty good care of myself this summer.
Yes, Mary. Don lost 5 pounds on his yacht.
His stomach looks thinner, too.
Certainly does. Say, you've got quite a nice coat of tan, Mary. What'd you do all summer?
Well, I stayed right here in Hollywood until we had that awful heat wave. Good thing you missed it, Jack.
Oh, yes. They tell me it was pretty bad.
Gee, it was so hot in Beverly Hills, the palm trees were fanning each other.
I can imagine.
Why, Jack, it was simply unbearable. Why, it was 107 degrees in my shade.
You must have been in demand, Don. Say, Mary, you didn't stay in town during that hot spell, did you?
No, I went down to Laguna Beach and spent 2 weeks with my aunt and uncle.
Oh, is your uncle in business down there?
Yes, he's a shill for a lemonade stand.
Well, that's quite a novel occupation. So you were down at the beach, huh?
Yeah. And, oh, Jack, I must tell you.
What?
I met the cutest lifeguard down there. What a doll.
A lifeguard?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he has a marvelous physique, especially at high tide.
High tide? What difference does that make?
Plenty. He's got bow legs.
Well, none of us is perfect, you know. So your new romance has bow legs, huh? What's his name?
Parenthesis Jones.
Descriptive, isn't it, huh? I'd like to meet him. Bring him over sometime. Say, Don, I think it's about time that Mr. Harris got here. Where's Phil?
Here I am, Jackson.
Oh.
everybody. This is Smiling Phil Harris back on the good old Jell-O program. Yeah, back at the NBC studio, which is just about a mile and a half from the Wiltshire Bowl. No cover charge at any time. Yeah.
Ah, don't humor him, folks. He's conceited enough. Well, Phil, that's quite an entrance you gave yourself. Music and everything.
Well, I had nothing to do with that, Jack. The boys planned it themselves. It was spontaneous.
Is that from the French?
Definitely. Well, Phil, at that, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for giving yourself a build-up on our first show. And now that you're here, how about a number?
Look, I'm an actor. I ain't playing till I get a little dialogue.
Oh, a little dialogue, eh? All right, then. Tell me, Phil, what did you do this summer? Did you have a nice vacation?
I certainly did.
Well, and now, ladies and gentlemen, Phil Harris...
Hey, wait a minute!
What's the matter?
Well, I told you I'm not playing a number until I get a couple of laughs here.
Phil, the easiest way for you to get laughs is to play a number. Now, go ahead.
Okay, Jackson.
Oh, by the way, Jack, I meant to ask you, aren't we going to have a singer on the show this season?
Oh, of course, Don. I'm trying out a young tenor. He's a kind of a cute kid, too. He should be here soon.
Say, Jack.
What?
Tell him about the other singer you wanted to get.
What other singer?
You know, the one you thought you could put over on the sponsor.
Look, I didn't try to put anything over.
Come on, what was it, Mary?
Well, after Kenny Baker left, Jack thought he'd save a little money this year.
I did not.
What happened, Mary?
He tried to get his canary on the program.
Well, I just figured it'd be a novelty for a couple of weeks. Besides, Dickie Boy can whistle Sunrise Serenade with the best of them. Believe me.
What's the name of this young fellow you're trying out?
His name is Day, Dennis Day. His mother's here with him.
Is she my type?
Yes, Phil. She wears a skirt. Anyway, you'll meet Dennis soon. Now, go ahead, Phil. Let's hear a good hot tune. Now, hold it a minute. Answer the phone, Mary.
Okay. Hello? Who? Yes? It's for you, Jack. It's Mrs. Day.
Oh, Dennis's mother. Give me that phone. Oh, boy, what I've gone through with her already. Hello, Mrs. Day. How are you? Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, we're expecting you right away. Well, look, Mrs. Day, can't Dennis take his bath later? We're on the air now. We need him here. Fine, he's been in town 3 weeks. He has to take a bath today.
That'll never hurt the program.
Quiet. Now, look, Mrs. Day, I'm not trying to run your affairs, but you see, this is our first program of the season, and Dennis should be here on time. You know, this isn't a clam bake. We're established. Now, please, hop in a car and rush Dennis over here immediately. What? Should he wear a blue suit or a gray suit?
Tell her never mind. We'll put the lights out.
Mary. He can wear anything, Mrs. Day. Now, hurry, won't you? Goodbye. Oh, boy, what a lilac she is. Play, Phil, and that canary wasn't such a bad idea after all.
We'll be right back.
was Go Fly a Kite from the Star Maker, played by Phil Harris and his spontaneous orchestra. Say, Phil, that number sounded a lot better than I expected. Wasn't it good, Mary?
Yeah, that was swell, Phil.
Oh, it was all right, but personally, I thought the boys played a little too pianissimo.
Too what?
Pianissimo, too loud.
Phil, even though you carry a union card, for your information, pianissimo means soft. Fortissimo is loud.
Is that so? Would you like to make a little bet on that?
Would I like to? I'd love to.
Then you must be right.
Darn right I'm right. You know, I didn't study music 15 years for nothing.
No kidding, Jack. Did you study violin for 15 years?
I certainly did. I practiced on that fiddle 15 long years.
Spontaneous fits here, too.
Listen, Mary, you can joke. You can joke about it now. But when I was a young fella, I was torn between two loves. In fact, it was a toss-up whether I'd become a concert violinist or a comedian. I didn't know which path to take.
Don't tell the finish. I'm reading the book.
That's very amusing, Mary. However, if you'd like to know the truth, the first time I ever... Hey, that must be Dennis Day and his mother. Now, listen, fellas, before they come in, I want to tell you something. While they're here, I want you to show me a little courtesy and respect. I'd like to get this kid started out on the right foot. Now, remember that.
Okay, Mr. Benny.
More like it.
There's somebody at the door, kind sir.
Oh, all right, don't overdo it. Come in. Well, how do you do, Mrs. Day? Come right in.
Thank you. Come along, Dennis.
Yes, yes, come in. Well, I'm glad you found the studio all right, Mrs. Day. Did you take a cab like I told you to?
Yes, it was $1.65. Here's the slip.
Oh.
You sure walked into that one.
Oh, well, I don't mind.
Then smile.
Mary, I'll mind my face and you mind your business. Well, Mrs. Day, I want you to meet the members of my cast. This is Barry Livingston, Don Wilson, and Phil Harris.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mrs. Day?
And this is her little boy, Dennis.
Say hello to the people, Dennis.
Hello to the people.
Oh, fine.
Well, naturally, Mary, he's a little nervous. Aren't you, Dennis?
Am I, Mother?
Certainly not.
Oh. Now, Dennis, I want you to feel right at home here. We're all your friends, and we want to help you in every possible way.
I'm indeed grateful, Mr. Benny.
Well, that's sweet. Now, Mrs. Day.
Yes?
How can a basso profundo like that have a tenor for a son? Now, Mrs. Day, I realize, this being Dennis's first time here, that you're not aware of our schedule. We have a very definite starting time.
You have?
Yes, we do our first broadcast at exactly 4 o'clock Pacific time, and our repeat broadcast at precisely 8:30. Now, is that clear?
Perfectly. And when is payday?
Payday?
When it's springtime in the Rockies.
Miss Livingston, please. Oh, he'll get paid, Mrs. Day. Don't worry about that. Now, Dennis, I think that about covers everything. That's all there is, and that's all you have to know. You're here to sing, so just be on time and do your best. Now, are there any questions?
Yes. When do I get some funny lines?
Funny lines?
I know how you feel, bub.
Phil, you complain once more, and you'll be known as the silent maestro. Now, Dennis, what song have you selected for your debut on our Jell-O program?
He's going to sing a delightful new number called Good Night, My Beautiful. It's becoming very popular.
Yes, I know. It's a grand number. Now, before you sing, Dennis, I thought our audience would, you know, like to know something about you, like to know your age. How old are you?
59, including mother.
Well... That's not what I meant, Dennis. I mean, how old are you by yourself?
Dennis is just 19.
19? Well, 19 from 59. That makes you 40, doesn't it, Mrs. Day?
I'll take that.
Take it. You snapped at it. Now, just one more question, Dennis. Where is your home? I mean, that is, where were you born?
Dennis was born in Cairo, Illinois.
Oh, Cairo, eh?
My gosh, an Egyptian.
Well, the boy was born in Cairo, Illinois, not Egypt.
Well, a comedian like me overlooks them details.
I'd like to catch you overlooking the Grand Canyon someday. With at least 8 of your boys. Now, go ahead, Dennis. We're all waiting and anxious to hear your song. Now, Dennis, this is the microphone.
How do you do?
Oh, you are nervous, aren't you? Now, go right ahead. You haven't a thing to worry about. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for his first song on the Jell-O program, Dennis Day will sing Good Night, My Beautiful from George White's Scandals. Take it, my boy.
Now, Dennis, breathe deeply.
Yes, Mother.
Don't forget the words.
No, Mother.
And come here. Let me fix your tie.
Oh, don't bother, Mrs. Day. You know this isn't television.
You're quite fortunate, Mr. Benny.
Very good, Mrs. Day. Very good. Sing, Dennis. Oh, boy, I'd love to give her a hot foot. Kidding. Dennis, that was very, very good. I'm sure everyone enjoyed it.
Thanks, Mr. Benny. You've made me the happiest girl in the world.
Oh, he's so nervous, folks. Play, Bill.
If you want to enjoy real delicious old-fashioned goodness in a new-fashioned dessert, a dessert that's quick and easy and inexpensive, here's the answer. Jell-O chocolate pudding, the answer to your family when they ask you for something new for dessert. Jell-O chocolate pudding is the best tasting dessert you ever get to spoon in.
Gets to be a bit too much, it's good to go back to where it all began, the radio. Tune in to WHFR.FM for relaxing live shows, hosts you can connect with, and alternative variety music that you won't be able to get enough of. That's WHFR.FM at 89.3. WHFR Dearborn. We're making waves, so dial in and catch them.
If you want to change the world, then you have to change yourself. One of the best places in the Metro Detroit area to improve your life is Henry Ford College. Henry Ford College offers dozens of degree and certificate programs, plus the opportunity to network with your peers and potential employers. Taking classes at Henry Ford College gives you the freedom to take your own career path and opens up an infinite number of career possibilities. Additionally, day and evening classes allow you the flexibility of building a schedule tailored to your busy lifestyle. For more information on admittance, financial aid, and class schedules, visit www.hfcc.edu today. That's www.hfcc.edu. So change the world, change yourself at Henry Ford College.
All right, we just heard Jack Benny from October 8, 1939. Again, you are locked into Radio Vault. Don't forget, for hour number three, we have got Humphrey Bogart in the Treasure of Sierra Madre. That'll be for hour number three. Hour number two, Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. Right now, though, let us go back to June 16, 1940.
One cherry phosphate.
One cherry phosphate.
Say, buddy, I've got a broadcast to do in a few minutes. Will you please hurry with my sandwich?
Why don't you eat after the broadcast?
Because I'm hungry now. Get the sandwich.
Okay, Mr. Benny. What kind was that again?
Tuna fish and peanut butter on rye bread.
Oh, yes, with an egg in it.
The egg goes in my malted milk. Now hurry, please. Oh, hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Jack. Think I'll have time for a bite to eat before our broadcast?
Yes, if we can get a little service here. Sit down.
Okay.
Well, there goes my new straw hat. That did it.
Oh, that's too bad, Jack. I didn't see it. Is it crushed?
Like a pansy in a dictionary. Is my hat crushed?
Well, I'm so sorry, Jack. I think I ought to pay for it. How much did it cost?
No, forget about it, Don.
Okay. Jeepers. Just think, a few more minutes and we'll be during our last...
Just mail me a check.
Hiya, Mr. Wilson, what'll it be?
I'll have a club sandwich, please.
Okay. One clubby for Tubby.
Coming up.
And hurry mine while you're at it.
Hi, Jack. Hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello.
What are you eating, Jack?
Oh, my regular. Tuna fish and peanut butter.
What a man. Just because they name a sandwich after you, you eat it every time you come in here.
Well, why shouldn't I? The Jack Benny three-decker delight is very healthful. I always eat things that are full of vitamins.
Then why don't they show?
Oh, quiet.
Here's your club sandwich, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you.
What's yours, Miss Livingston?
I'll have a pineapple nut sundae with cherries and lots of whipped cream.
My goodness, Mary, why don't you eat something with vitamins?
Okay, put some tuna fish on it.
Mary, you better save all those cute remarks for the program. And incidentally, young lady, as long as this is our farewell appearance, I wish you'd be a little more careful what you say.
You mean I shouldn't tell them what happened at Paramount yesterday?
Don't you dare.
What happened, Mary?
Never mind. See? You're starting already.
Go on, Mary. What was it?
Yeah, what happened?
You stay out of this. And get my sandwich.
Well, Don.
Oh.
It seems that Paramount gave Fred Allen Dorothy L'Amour's old dressing room, which is right next to Jack's. Only Jack didn't know that Fred was in there.
Only Jack didn't know.
Anyway, Jack knocked on the door and yelled, "Hello, Dorothy. Hello, sweetheart."
It's very amusing.
And what happened, Mary?
Fred yelled back, "Don't come in. I haven't got my sarong on."
Yes, but he didn't fool me for a minute.
But, Jack, I thought you told Mark Sandridge, the director, that you wouldn't make a picture with Alan.
Well, we compromised, Don. Alan can be in the picture, but he has to be the straight man. He gives me all the leads, and I give all the answers.
Well, that'll be a novelty. The question's getting the laughs.
I'll get the laughs, don't worry.
Here's your pineapple sundae, Miss Livingston.
Thanks.
Hey, wait a minute. She just got here. Where's my three-decker?
Bill's putting a poop deck on it.
Don't get fancy. Just bring it in. Hiya, kids. You better step on it. We'll be on the air in a few minutes.
Oh, hello, Phil. Phil.
Hello, Don.
Well, look who's on time tonight. What's the matter, Phil? Does your conscience bother you because this is our farewell program?
Holy smoke, is this our last broadcast? I better start saving my dough.
Yes, Maestro, you have about 30 minutes left to get an annuity. So make it snappy.
What'll it be, Twitch?
Hiya, bub. Just give me a glass of water.
Glass of water? Okay.
Put some bromo in it.
I thought so. A bromo seltzer, eh?
One Phil Harris special.
Coming up.
They know you like a book, eh, Phil?
Hey, fella. Hey, are you Jack Benny from the radio?
That's me. My program goes on just a few minutes.
Yeah, I heard it last week.
Oh, you did?
But I didn't like it.
That's too bad. You know, I can't please everybody.
Yeah, especially me. So long. I'll be listening.
Goodbye. I'm going to worry whether he likes me or not.
Here's your sandwich, Mr. Benny.
Well, it's about time. Give me that malted milk, too.
Okay.
Boy, am I hungry.
Say, Jack, I better run along upstairs. I'll see you in the studio.
All right, Don. Well, I'll be darned. Hey, buddy, I ordered a tuna fish and peanut butter.
Well, what's the matter?
This is tuna fish and peanut brittle. A fine combination.
Well, we're all out of peanut butter.
It's a nice time to tell me. Bring me something else, then. Bring me a turkey sandwich.
Okay. One turkey for jerky.
Coming up!
Now, see here, young man. I'm a very good customer, and if you think that
Pardon me, mister. Is this seat taken?
No, sit right down.
Hey, Jack, it's getting late. We better get out of here.
Yeah, come on, Jackson. We'll be late for the broadcast.
Oh, I think I got time to eat a sandwich. Pardon me, mister. What time is it?
The time?
Yes.
I don't know. Hey, Eddie, what time is it?
I don't know. Hey, Bill, what time is it?
I don't know. Hey, Sam!
Never mind. I'll eat after the program. Come on, Mary. Hurry up, Phil.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Down by the Ohio. Played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is only fitting that on this, our last program of the season, I should pay tribute to the man who has guided us through the past 36 weeks.
Oh, don't bother, Don.
A man whose spirit and leadership has made this program what it is today.
Oh, anybody could have done it. Maybe. Continue, Don.
A man whose buoyant and sparkling personality has been reflected into each and every one of us.
I have so much of it. Go ahead.
A man whose age and experience has proven invaluable to us younger members of the cast.
That one he could have left out. Oh, well.
So here he is, folks, the old Mother Hubbard of the Jell-O program, Jack Benny.
Jell-O again, this is Jack Benny talking. Old Mother Hubbard, that's a fine introduction on Father's Day. Don, as long as you started out so beautifully, why didn't you finish with something sentimental like, here he is, folks, the genial skipper of the good ship Jell-O, Jack Benny. Now, that would have been swell.
Well, to tell you the truth, Jack, that sounds a bit too corny.
Oh. Well, now that you mention it, it does sound a little like one of Phil Harris's mental nuggets.
There you go again. Oh, boy, am I glad this is the last broadcast.
You are?
Yeah. Next week, I'll be out on the road playing those one-night stands where people appreciate me.
Phil, you stay in a town longer than one night and see what happens. So you start on the road next week, eh? What's your itinerary?
Plain suits for the boys and a sport outfit for me.
Well, that was my fault. Phil, an itinerary means your route. What town's you gonna play?
Oh, well, why don't you come right out and ask me instead of ringing in them new words?
New words? Phil, the word itinerary is very common. I learned what it meant when I was in the third grade.
You learned to shave there, too, didn't you?
Mary, I wasn't in third grade that long.
Go on, they had to give you election day off so you could vote.
All right, go ahead, keep it up. I suppose I had rheumatism when I was in the third grade.
You spent your lunch money on liniment, if that's what you mean.
Now, cut that out! You never stop, do you?
Ah!
Mary, if I'm a big dodo like you try to make me out, how come I'm the star of this program?
Because you're a great comedian, you have a marvelous personality, and you know show business from A to Z.
Well, thanks. It's more like it. Say, Phil.
Oh, brother.
Now, don't spoil it. Say, Phil, as I started to ask you before I was sent back to third grade, what's your route? What town's you going to play?
Well, tomorrow night we open in San Bernardino, then we go to Santa Barbara, then Long Beach, then San Diego.
I see.
Then the following night we go to Fall River, Massachusetts.
Fall River, Massachusetts? How are you going to get there in one night from San Diego?
I don't know. Is it much of a drive?
You hear that, fellas? What a schedule. That'll be a fine vacation touring the country with those 18 downbeat derelicts. Say, Don, what are you planning to do on your vacation? Take a trip somewhere?
Well, Jack, this may come as a sort of a surprise to you, but I'm going to make a picture for Harry Sherman at Paramount. It's a Western.
Oh, well, I'll be darned. So you're going to make a Western, eh? Are you going to ride a horse, Don?
Yes, sir, and you ought to see that animal. It's a beauty.
So was Jack Straw Hat till you sat on it.
Yeah, $450. Well, tell me about your picture, Don. Is it an interesting story?
Oh, very. You see, I'm Sheriff Slim of Rattlesnake Gulch, and there's a mob of outlaws that come in town one night to rob the bank.
Rob the bank, eh?
Yeah, but I'm having the story changed so that now they break into a grocery store and steal some Jell-O.
Oh.
That makes me fighting mad.
Well, I should imagine it would. What's a bank? So what, what happens, Don?
Well, I jump on my horse and follow the outlaws to their hideout.
I see.
And I'm almost within sight of them when suddenly my horse goes lame.
Oh, that's too bad.
So I continue by foot.
Don, you forgot to get off. And what happens next?
Well, to make a long story short, I capture the bandits, bring back the Jell-O, marry the grocer's daughter, and we have six delicious children.
Don't tell me. I can guess. Imagine a kid named Lemon Wilson. Well, it sounds like a fascinating story, and I wish you luck, Don. And now, ladies and gentlemen, going from Buck Wilson Rides Again to our vocal interlude, Dennis Day, our young tenor, will offer...
Dennis isn't here yet.
He isn't. I think he'd be on time for our last program.
Look, Jack, there he is, sitting out in the audience with his mother.
Where?
See that lady with a little boy on her lap?
Well, I'll be darned. Hey, Dennis, what are you doing out there?
I'm watching the program.
Well, get up here. You're on it.
Okay. Come on, Ma.
Would have to bring his mother with him.
Oh, Jack, it's our last show. What do you care?
She's always got a chip on her shoulder. The old... Oh, good evening. Good evening, Mrs. Day.
Good evening, Mr. Benny.
I'm so happy to see you.
Well, you certainly don't look it.
You see? You see what I mean? You see? There. Oh. You know, Mrs. Day, I don't like to say this, but since you've stayed away from the program, Dennis and I have been getting along fine, and he's improved tremendously. He's got more volume to his voice, more assurance, and more poise.
Then why don't you give him more money?
Because he's young yet. That's why.
Shirley Temple made $1 million before she was 10 years old.
Shirley Temple?
Yes.
Well, hang some curls on your brat and we'll dick her. Now, look, Mrs. Day, give me a little credit. I've developed your son into being a first-class comedian.
Then he ought to have more jokes to tell.
Oh, now you want jokes for him. Well, for your information, Mrs. Day, there are just so many jokes in our script. And when this pack of wolves come in here Sunday night, your lamb is lucky if he gets to sing. And now, Dennis, how about a song?
Okay. Gee, Mr. Benny, you're not a bit afraid of my mother, are you?
Your mother? No.
The woman don't live that you're afraid of, eh, Tiger?
Mary, I don't like those nicknames. Go ahead and sing, Dennis. Mrs. Day, will you please take your seat in the audience?
On your little swing, I heard you sing through the livelong day. Way that lovebirds do, for there were two of you. Then this tragic thing that called your poor little mate away, and only you remain to sing a blue wasn't meant to sing along. Blue lovebird, still singing for your mate, but it's your fate to wait alone. Once there were two of you singing to the dawn. That lovebirds die alone.
That was Blue Lovebird from Lillian Russell, sung by Dennis Day. A great song from a great picture. By the way, Dennis, did you see the picture?
Yeah. And I was wondering, Mr. Benny, do you think Alice Faye on the screen was as beautiful as the real Lillian Russell?
So they say. Of course, I never knew Lillian Russell.
Uh-huh.
Mary, I'm warning you. I suppose I knew Diamond Jim Brady, too.
If you did, you didn't get any on you.
Mary, I was just about to make an announcement concerning our cast next year, and a certain clever kiddo may be cut out. Now, sit down.
Yes, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Mr. Benny. And now, ladies and gentlemen, before we conclude this final broadcast, I would like to announce that on Sunday, October the 6th, Mary, go away, we will return to the air for the same sponsor at the same time and with the same cast. Mary, Phil, Don, Dennis, Andy, and Rochester, who is now touring in vaudeville.
Incidentally, Jack, who's taking over our summer show? Has it been settled yet?
Yes, Don. The Aldrich family is going to move in for 3 months. As a matter of fact, young Henry Aldrich is dropping in here in just a little while. I want you all to be very nice to him. He'll probably be scared stiff in front of a microphone. Huh?
Scared in front of a microphone? Why, Henry Aldrich is a veteran in radio.
Why, he can't be. He's just a kid.
Sure, but he's had his own program for the past 2 years. Gee, he's funny.
Funny? Does he do comedy?
Haven't you heard about him, Jackson? Why, that kid's a riot. He's terrific.
He is? And he's young, eh?
Yeah, and you want to watch out for that boy.
Remember the old saying, make way for tomorrow.
Well, if he thinks he's coming out here to steal my... Oh, I'm not worried. But then, what's my sponsor thinking of putting another comedian in my place?
Now, take it easy, Jack. The boy won't hurt you. He's only taking your place for 3 months.
Oh, that's right.
A lot can happen in 3 months.
What do you mean?
Well, suppose at the end of the summer, Henry Aldridge goes to our sponsor and says, look, I did all right on the summer show. Why make a change?
What?
Why not keep the Aldridge family?
But...
why let go of a good thing?
Yeah, what do you need with Benny? Why the little double-crosser? I'll punch that Aldridge kid right in the nose.
Now, Jack, don't get excited. The kid doesn't mean any harm.
Then why is he trying to put me out of work? Especially at my age.
Ooh, my back.
All of a sudden, you're old and feeble.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, fellas, if that's the way they want it, all right. Heaven knows I try to entertain the American public. But that's life, I guess. It's life.
Jack, what are you talking about? You'll be back on this program next October.
Don't try to soften the blow, Don. I can see the handwriting on the wall. Thank heaven I've saved a few pennies.
Ye gods, have you got that fortune in pennies?
No time for jokes, Mary. When I think that a little squirt like that Aldridge kid can come along and come in and take away all that I've built up through years of constant... Come in. Well?
Hello, Mr. Benny. I'm Henry Aldridge.
Oh, you are, eh?
He got a nice hand there, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the public for you. Fickle. A little while ago, they were doing that for me. Well, young man, you can very nicely get right out of this studio.
Get out of this studio? Why, our sponsor sent me...
I don't care what our sponsor did. You don't start working on this program until next week, so scram.
But I flew all the way here from New York just to be on your show tonight.
I don't care if you did. Get out.
For Mr. Benny.
But nothing. Get out before I throw you out.
What's going on here?
You know what's going on. Teach you to take my job away. Look at him standing there. You're so darn funny, Aldridge. Why don't you go ahead and tell a joke? Go ahead, make me laugh.
Well, gee whiz, Mr. Benny, I can't understand all this. I came all the way from New York to be with you tonight.
Who cares?
I'm bewildered. Everybody told me you were such a nice fellow.
I heard a little bit about you too, buddy. Now, please get out of here.
Oh, Jack, you have to fall for everything. We were only kidding you.
Why, of course. You don't have to worry, Jack. It's just a rib.
Rib nothing. I can look right at that boy and see he's got talent. Can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Hair either.
Quiet. I'm worried enough.
Oh, wake up, Jackson. This kid isn't trying to take your job.
But my goodness, Mr. Benny, I think you're the greatest comedian in the world. You're my ideal.
I am, eh?
Honest. Why, I'd rather go without supper than miss you on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah? Well.
Oh, I always listen. Why, I know all of your stuff by heart.
Oh-ho!
Pull up your dukes! Put them up, kid!
Jack!
Grab him!
Jack, what's the matter? With you. Calm down.
Calm down? You just heard him admit he was stealing my stuff.
Oh, no. You misunderstand me, Mr. Benny. All I meant was you're so funny that I can't help but remember everything you do.
Oh. Oh, I see. Well, I'm sorry I made that pass at you. So you think I'm pretty funny, eh, kid?
Yes, sir. I think Phil Harris is very amusing, too.
Oh, you do, eh?
But when it comes to class, you got him beat a mile.
Well, Henry, I'll have to admit that Phil is a little corny.
Oh, you're both corny, but you have more finesse.
Now, look, Henry.
See what I told you? The kid's a panic.
Yeah.
Now, look, Henry, there are a couple of rather personal things I want to talk to you about. I'll tell you what, let you and I run down to the drugstore. I want a sandwich anyway. I'll talk to you there.
Okay. Well, so long, everybody.
So long, Henry. Henry. So long. Good luck on your summer show.
Gee, thanks.
Goodbye, Mary. Give me a kiss.
Kiss Henry. Oh, so long.
I'll see you later. Come along, Henry.
Okay, Mr. Benny.
Well, Henry, now here's what I want to talk to you about. You see, I do a comedy show 9 months out of the year. Now, you're coming on for the summer, and I think our audience would like a contrast.
What do you mean, Mr. Benny?
Well, why don't you do a dramatic show or read poetry or something?
Well, you see, the Aldridge family has been very successful on the air. We want to continue with it.
Oh. But, Henry, people get tired of laughing all the time. Why don't you introduce a serious note? You know, make people cry.
Cry, Mr. Benny?
Sure, that sob stuff goes over big.
I smell a rat.
Oh. Well, look, Henry, here's another idea. Have you ever considered doing a sort of an adventure serial? Something with suspense and action. For instance, look, you can be lost in the jungle. Savages and wild animals will be after. You know, make a real thriller out of it.
No comedy, eh?
No, not in the jungle, Henry.
Well, I don't think our sponsor would like that.
Oh. Well, here's the drugstore. Let's go in and have something. Look, Henry, don't you want to show the sponsor how versatile you are?
I want to get laughs, Mr. Benny, just like you do.
Oh. Hey, buddy, give me a tuna fish and peanut butter sandwich.
Okay.
Let's try it again. Now, look. Look, Henry. Henry, let me paint a picture for you. Say, for instance, you're lost in the jungle, and week after week, people will be tuning in to find out what's happening to you. They're worried about you. They'll be on edge. Did the golden dragon get Henry, they'll say? Or have the cannibals got him? Think of that.
I'll have a chocolate soda.
But Henry...
Vanilla ice cream.
Now look, Henry, forget about the jungle. Here's another idea for you. You're an office boy on a big new city newspaper, and you're just dying for a break. You want to be a reporter, see?
Uh-huh.
Well, one day there's a big fire in the building next door, and Millicent Mandalay, the girl you're going to marry when you're 21, is trapped in this burning building. You hear her screaming, Henry! Henry, help me! Help!
No soap.
Listen. So hearing her cries, you dash right into the blazing inferno. Think of it, Henry. Flames to the right of you. Flames to the left of you. I tell you, Henry, this is the time. This is the last number of the last program in the current Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next October 6th at the same time. Meanwhile, I hope you will all enjoy The Aldrich Family starring Ezra Stone beginning next week. Before signing off, I'd like to thank our listeners everywhere and the members of my cast for their splendid cooperation. I would also like to thank my authors, Bill Morrow and Ed Beloyne, who worked with me in the preparation of my material. And oh yes, I think I better thank Ezra Stone, too.
You're welcome, Buck.
Well, good night, folks. See you next fall.
Be sure to listen next Sunday to the Aldrich Family, same time, same station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
And there you go. Broadcast from June 16 of 1940. And as you may know, the Aldridge family went on in later years to have a very long broadcast run. We're going to make way for our next feature coming up in just a moment. The Great Gildersleeve with Willard Waterman. What's coming up later on today on WHFR? Let's find out, shall we?
many sounds, the many faces of jazz and improvised music can be heard on the Spirits Rejoice radio program every Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m. right here, WHFR.FM, WHFR Dearborn.
Mom was always very organized.
But my sister and I noticed she started to forget things.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
My sister and I were there for Mom and each other.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
All right, let's once again go back and remind you, you're listening to listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. It's WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. Let's go back to October 10 of 1951. How about that? Willard Waterman.
Mom was always very organized.
Kraft Foods Company presents Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, partially transcribed, by the Kraft Foods Company. Well, once a year, the great Gildersleeve, his niece Marjorie, and his nephew Leroy make the trek to Judge Hooker's house for dinner. For the judge, it's quite an occasion because it commemorates the day years ago when he turned Marjorie and little Leroy over to the guardianship of our water commissioner. Dinner is over now, and the evening is well along. Yes, well along.
And when he said that, I knew immediately that the only thing for me to do was Gildy.
Huh? Oh, yes, absolutely, Judge.
Surely you're not sleepy, Gildy. It's only 9 o'clock.
Oh, no, not at all. It's just that I ate too much. You fine dinner, Horace, as usual.
Your chicken fricassee was wonderful, Judge.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Marjorie.
Hey, didn't we have chicken fricassee last year?
Leroy, the judge serves chicken fricassee every year.
Yes, indeed. For this occasion, it's traditional. You know, living alone as I do, I always look forward to these intimate little family get-togethers.
So do we, Judge.
We certainly do.
Leroy?
Yeah, we certainly do.
We do have fun, don't we? My, it seems like only yesterday when it became my pleasant duty to tuck you children under the protective wing of your devoted uncle.
Yeah, I remember, Judge. Leroy, you wore knee pants and a little ruffled collar.
Me in ruffles? Oh, for corn's sake.
That's right, Leroy. And who'd have dreamed that Marjorie, a little girl in pigtails, would now be the mother of twins?
Now, Judge, you make me feel so old.
Yeah. What time is it?
Leroy.
I imagine Leroy is anxious to play a game.
Oh, boy!
Now, let's see what I have. Dominoes, authors, parcheesi.
Oh, brother.
Perhaps I should think of something for all of us to do.
Yeah, don't worry about me, Judge. I'll look through the family album.
A little later on, we want to have our annual song fest around the organ. So if nobody minds, I'll run through a song just to test the organ's pipes. And my own.
Are you going to sing, Judge?
Why not? I often wonder why we don't hear some of the good songs anymore. Oh, my poor Nellie Gray, they have taken you away, and I'll never see my darling.
sitting by the river, and I'm weeping all the day. For you've gone from the old Kentucky shore.
What time is it now?
Watch it, Leroy.
Well, now that I've broken the ice, let's everybody join in. Come on, Gilda. We'll sing Smiles.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Judge. I'm just getting interested in the album.
Marjorie?
Oh, I hate to break up the evening, Judge, but I really must get home to the twins.
Yeah, me too.
We'd like to stay longer, Judge, but you know how it is with children at home.
I understand. But I've been thinking. Gilda, you have such a large family now. Why don't you share one of your members with a lonely man?
What do you mean, Judge?
Well, Leroy and I have been such pals tonight, it occurred to me that he might like to come over and spend a few days with me.
A few days?
I don't know, Judge. Leroy's in school, you know.
Well, I could help him study. We'd have a dandy time. Leroy, how would you like to have a lawyer help you with your homework?
A lawyer? I'm not in that much trouble.
Well, give it some thought, my boy. Gildy, I'll call you about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll think it over, Judge.
Yeah, thanks just the same. Thank you for a very lovely evening, Judge.
You're very enjoyable, Horace. Good night.
It has been my pleasure. You have no idea how these visits of yours brighten my life.
Good night, Judge.
Good night, Judge.
Night.
Good night, George. The judge is a fine old fellow. I always leave his house with a sort of an empty feeling.
I couldn't eat much of that chicken either.
Leroy, get in the car. Eight times seven is 56. Six and carry the five. Seven twos are 14. And add the five, makes 19.
You doing your homework too, Unc?
No, Leroy, it's my water report. Nine and one to carry.
Why don't you do that at the office?
Well, it piles up, my boy. Now run along.
Okay. Hey, can I use your red ink?
No, I need it. Six and five are 11.
How about using your black ink?
Leroy, what do you want with ink?
I want to put a tattoo on my arm.
Yo. Leroy, please, I've got to concentrate.
I'll help you. Seven times eight are 54.
You're 56. And Leroy, stop figuring over my shoulder.
Okay. What's the 1,560 gals?
No, Leroy.
You sure have a lot of lady customers, Unc.
Leroy, will you go away and let me finish my work?
Okay. Let me know if you get stuck, Unc.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'd have had this report out. We hadn't gone to the judge's last night. Yeah, well, a man can't ignore an obligation like that. Besides, the judge is so lonesome. Seven times eight are 54. 56. Cute the way the old judge wanted Leroy to stay with him a few days. Eight and two are 10, four are 14. Oop. Leroy, is that you sawing?
Yeah.
Well, stop it.
Okay.
That's better. Oh, my goodness. Leroy, now what are you doing?
I'm hammering.
Well, stop that, too.
Gosh, how do you ever expect me to get my sled built?
Sled? Are you building a sled in the living room?
Well, it's dark outside.
Now, see here, Leroy. You can do that over the weekend and out in the yard.
Okay.
Yeah, try to find something to do other than annoy people.
Okay.
I'll get it.
Yeah, I'll get it, Bertie. Yeah, I'm up.
I thought you were figuring.
That's impossible around here. Hello.
Hello, Gilder.
Oh, it's you, Judge.
I told you I'd call. Have you thought about Leroy coming over to spend a few days with me?
Well, I'm sorely tempted, Judge, but perhaps Leroy had better stay home with us. Turn down the radio.
What'd you say, Gilda?
I said, Leroy, turn down the radio.
I can't hear you, Gilda. What'd you say?
He'll be right over.
More coffee, Mr. Gilsleeve?
Yeah, thanks, Bertie.
Sure is quiet around here this morning.
Yeah, quite a change.
That poor little boy, he didn't want to go.
Now, Bertie, it'll be good for Leroy.
Yes, sir.
Besides, we sort of owe it to the judge. He'll be a quieting influence on the boy.
Yes, sir. I wonder what the judge's cook is giving that poor little boy for breakfast.
Probably Rye Crisp and Kalak water.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gildersleeve, while Leroy's eating light, would you care for another plate of bacon, eggs, toast, and marmalade?
Bacon, eggs. No, thanks, Bertie. Hello, everybody. I'm home.
Hello, Unky. Did you have a good day at the office?
Oh, fair. Isn't Leroy here?
Well, of course not. He isn't due home until tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I thought he might have missed us. Maybe gotten tired at the judge's.
I guess he's decided to stick it out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Would you like to see the evening paper, Unky?
Yeah, I might glance at it before dinner. Thank you, my dear. Not much in the paper.
No, not much.
What's that?
The clock.
I haven't heard a clock tick in this house for years. Certainly is quiet around here. That darn clock. Ticking louder than it did yesterday. Well, this is the last day I'll have to listen to it. Leroy will be home tonight.
Uncle Morris.
Yes, Marjorie?
When are you going for Leroy?
The judge wanted him to stay to dinner, my dear.
Oh.
Miss Gildersleeve, did I hear you say Leroy wouldn't be home for dinner?
Yeah, that's right, Bertie.
He's been gone 3 days, you know.
We realize that, Bertie.
I got pot roast and chocolate pie.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
3 days and 9 meals beside what he eats in between.
Now, Bertie, you and Marjorie make it sound like I'm punishing the boy, but I'm not. This has been good for Leroy. A few dull days with the judge will make him appreciate his home and family more.
Yes, sir. I sure thought he was going to be home for dinner.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think I'll go see if I can help Bertie.
You're all right, my dear. Bertie and Marjorie can't wait to get Leroy back home. But what's a couple of hours? They have the wrong idea about this. They pictured little Leroy over there playing Parcheesi and eating cold fricassee. Maybe they're right. Where's my hat?
Miss Gildersleeve, dinner's almost ready. Where are you going?
I'm going to get Leroy.
Yes, sir.
Judge, answer the door. Will little Leroy be surprised? He'll fly into my arms.
Oh, hi, Unc.
Leroy.
What are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
Who is it, Leroy?
It's Unc. He's early.
Leroy, aren't you glad to see me?
Boy, I'd say, come on in.
Oh, well, that's better.
I want to show you what the judge bought me.
You?
Gilda, we didn't expect you till after dinner.
Yeah, well, Judge...
Look at this, Unc, a football outfit, helmet, shoulder pads...
And a breakaway jersey.
Well, that's all very nice. But, Judge, we don't want to spoil Leroy.
Why, you can't spoil a nice boy like Leroy.
Heck no. And just think, I get to take all these things home.
Yeah, well, speaking of home, Leroy... Bertie has pot roast for dinner.
But, Gilda, we've reserved a table in the palm room of the Summerfield Grill. In fact, we were about to leave.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I suppose I can come back for Leroy later.
Oh, by the way, we want to talk to you about that. We haven't had time to do all the things that I planned for Leroy. How about letting the boy stay another week?
Another week?
How about it, Unc?
Leroy!
Oh, I've had a keen time, Unc. The judge even took me swimming over at the athletic club.
Ha, 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 ha.
Heated water.
Parboiled old goat.
What?
That's fine, Judge.
Now, we've been every place.
We've had a jim dandy time, Gildy. I feel like a kid myself.
His second childhood.
And Saturday, we want to attend the football game at Center City. I have tickets on the 50-yard line.
Well, I'll leave it up to Leroy.
Well, then I'm staying for another week. You don't mind, Dunk?
No. If you're happy about it, my boy, I'm happy.
Gosh, you're a swell uncle.
Well, I've always tried to be.
Hey, Unc, I forgot to show you what's in this other package the judge gave me.
You never mind, Leroy. I'll see it some other time.
Wait, Gildy. Leroy has a package for you.
He has?
His laundry. We have a busy week ahead, so tell Bertie we'd like to have it back by Monday.
Yeah. What's Bertie going to say when I bring a bundle of laundry to dinner?
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Well, the great Gildersleeve let his nephew Leroy go visit Judge Hooker a few days, partly because he felt sorry for the lonely judge and partly because Leroy was getting on his nerves. Now it's the great Gildersleeve who is lonely, and it's the judge who is getting on his nerves.
The old goat. Marjorie, he's practically bribing Leroy to stay with him. Buying him presents, taking him places.
You shouldn't say that, Unky. I think it's wonderful of a judge to take such an interest in Leroy. You can't blame him. The poor man never had a family of his own.
Yeah, he'll be poor if he keeps spending money on Leroy.
Mr. Gildersleeve, I like the way the judge is treating Leroy.
Bertie, I thought you wanted him to come home.
Oh, that's because I thought he'd just be moping around that big old house. But that boy's having the time of his life.
Well, he could have the time of his life with me, too, if he were here. There are a lot of things we could do together. By George, there's no school tomorrow. I think I'll call up and offer to take him to the roller rink tonight.
Unky, Leroy's having a good time. Why don't you leave him alone?
Well, I want to have a good time, too. The judge is getting a wee bit possessive. Judge?
Oh, hello, Gildy.
Judge, what do you have planned for Leroy this evening?
Why, Gildy?
Why? Well, I thought he might like to go roller skating.
Roller skating? What a capital idea. Thanks for the suggestion.
What?
I knew we were going to do something tonight, but I didn't know what. I'll go oil my skates and take the boy.
Judge, wait a minute. I think I'd better talk to Leroy about this.
Oh, you want to go.
Judge, let me talk to Leroy.
Oh, I can't disturb him now, Gildy. He's building an airplane. Bye, Gildy.
Oop. What a sneaky old goat.
Gildersleeve? What can I do for you today?
I guess you can give me a Coke.
Very well. I hear Leroy is still visiting the judge.
Yeah, that's right, Peavy.
Spending the winter, is he?
He is not. He'll be home in 4 days, and that'll be the end of the visit. And I mean it.
All right. I take it you're not happy with the arrangement.
Peavy, how would you feel if your nephew went for a short visit, and then you couldn't get him back home?
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, it wouldn't make any difference to me.
You wouldn't?
I don't have a nephew.
You might.
But Mrs. Peavy tells me we have nieces in the family. Of course, that's only hearsay.
You mean you aren't sure?
Well, I've never seen them.
Yeah, all right, Pete. Suppose your nieces went to visit the judge and wouldn't come home.
Mr. Gildersleeve, that could never happen. They don't know the judge. They don't even know me.
Peavy, let's drop the subject.
You drop it. You brought it up.
Well, I will. Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. The only reason Leroy is staying over there is because the judge is spoiling him.
You don't say.
Yeah, I could win him back in a minute if I wanted to buy him everything he saw. But that isn't good for the boy. Besides, I wouldn't stoop to such obvious tactics.
Well, look who's here.
Hi, Unc.
Well, Leroy.
How are you, Gildy?
Leroy, how about having a big Coke with your old uncle?
Well, Well, thanks, Unc, but the judge is going to buy me a pineapple nut sundae.
Oh, he is. Leroy, how about me buying you a double banana split with three kinds of ice cream?
My, now who's being obvious?
But, Gildy, Leroy wanted the pineapple nut sundae.
I think I'd rather have the double banana split, Judge.
Very well. While Mr. Peavy is making the banana split, let's you and I look in the showcase and see what we can see.
The old goat, he never gives up.
Gosh, look at the swell box camera.
Would you like one of those, Leroy?
Boy, would I.
That model you're looking at is $450.
Peavy, we'll take it.
Judge, you forced me to bring this up, but I'd planned to buy Leroy a good camera for Christmas.
Well, in that case, no sale, Peavy.
You plan no such thing.
Say, Judge, what time is it? We don't want to miss the movie.
Leroy, don't you have a watch?
Yeah, I'll say he does. Peavy, show Leroy one of those wristwatches.
Very well. This is more like it.
Gee, you mean it, Unc?
Yes, indeed, my boy.
Leroy.
Yeah, Judge?
Here it comes again.
Do you remember the day we were browsing around Hogan Brothers?
Yeah, they got everything.
I want you to go to Hogan Brothers and pick out anything your heart desires. Tell Mr. Bentley to charge it to my account.
You old brother.
Oh, boy, am I a lucky little kid. Just think, anything I want at Hogan Brothers. Isn't that great?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Tonight, Judge, what are we going to do tonight?
Well, Leroy, I'm afraid I'll have to spend some time on this brief. I have a case coming up in court tomorrow morning.
Yeah? What's a brief?
In this case, it's the defense that I'm preparing for my client.
Did he rob a bank?
No, Leroy. Now suppose you run along while I concentrate.
Okay. Is he a gangster? Did he rub somebody out?
Leroy, I'm not a criminal lawyer. Now, let me see. Case of Mahoney versus the state, an important precedent was set.
Was Mahoney a gangster?
Oh, for heaven's sake, no, Leroy. Now, why don't you find something to do?
Okay.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes. Party of the first part proved to the satisfaction of the jury.
Judge!
Yes, Leroy?
When you finish your brief, will you play the organ again?
We'll see.
Swell. And I'll play the drum I got at Hogan Brothers. Okay, Judge?
We'll see, Leroy.
Okay. I'll try the organ.
Certainly is hard to concentrate with an active boy in the house.
Oh, my poor Nellie Gray, they have taken you away.
Leroy.
And I'll never see my darling anymore.
Leroy.
Yeah?
Please lower your voice. I'm trying to concentrate.
Okay, I won't sing. I'll do something else.
Thank you, my boy. Now, perhaps I can get something done. Now, see, where was I? Oh. Leroy! Leroy! Oh, he doesn't hear me. Of all things at Hogan Brothers, why did he have to pick a drum? Oh, balderdash, I'll never get this brief out.
Uncle Mort, I don't understand you. All week you've been stewing about Leroy being with the judge, and now you don't seem to care.
Well, Marjorie, I'm not going to worry about it anymore.
I never thought Leroy would stay away from home this long.
Well, it's very simple, Bertie. You should have seen them at Peavy's. The boy gets anything he asks for. But I refuse to be concerned anymore.
Yes.
I can't imagine the judge letting him buy anything he wanted at Hogan Brothers.
Well, he did.
Uncle Mort, I think you should go after him. Enough's enough.
No, that's not the way to do it, Marjorie. Let Leroy stay as long as the judge can put up with
it. I'll get it.
You never mind, Bertie.
Hi, Unc.
Leroy, well, come in.
Hello, Gildy.
Hello, Judge.
I hope you don't mind, Gildy, but I thought it about time to bring the boy home.
Yeah, glad you did, Judge. It's good to see you home, Leroy.
It's good to be home, Unc. Where's Marge and Bertie?
Leroy.
Hi, Marge. Hi, Bertie.
Hello, Leroy. My gracious, I think you've grown.
Hey, come on. I've got.
Let me help you carry them, Leroy.
Oh, I've never seen so much.
Gilday, I suppose you wonder why I brought him home early?
Well, Judge...
As a matter of fact, my work has been piling up, and I'm not accustomed to having youngsters around me. Of course, he's a wonderful boy.
You bet, Judge.
But as you see, he is inclined to be a little bit noisy.
Yeah, I know, Judge. Who do you think told Hogan Brothers to sell Leroy the drum?
Gilday!
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds.
$237. You add $65. Yeah, George, it's easier to get these reports out knowing Leroy's home again. $1,209 plus $22. Yeah, that was a stroke of genius. Getting the clerk at Hogan Brothers to sell Leroy those drums. Yeah, I really put one over on the judge. Yeah, let's see. $1,209 plus... Yoffer. What's that?
Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is partially transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, and Dick LeGrand. Musical composition by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of those famous Kraft quality foods. Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve. Groucho Marx, you bet your life. He's next on NBC.
All right, there you have Greg Gildersleeve. And let's do another one, shall we? This one coming up is from when, you ask? This one is from October 14th. 1953. This is Radio Vault on WHFR Dearborn, making the waves with classic entertainment.
Willard Waterman as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you, transcribed by the Kraft Foods Company. Sometimes in the middle of a busy afternoon at the water department, the Great Gildersleeve starts thinking about his girlfriend, Miss Tuttle, who teaches school. And suddenly it seems like a good idea to drive by just about the time school is out and take Leroy home.
Gosh, Unc, I'm not ready to go home. I want to stay and watch football practice.
Yeah, it's up to you, Leroy. I just thought I'd drop by.
But you didn't tell me you were coming.
Well, say, there's Miss Tuttle. I see her through the window. I wonder if she sees me waving.
Well, if she can't see you waving your hat, why don't you throw a rock at the window?
Well, I wouldn't do that.
Want me to?
No.
I'm on to you, Unc.
What?
You didn't come to take me home. You came to take Miss Tuttle.
Well, if Grace, Miss Tuttle, wants a ride, of course I'll be happy to take her.
Okay, see you at dinner, Happy.
All right, my boy. Leroy knows how interesting.
interested I am in Grace Tupper. You can read me like a book. Yeah, well, I'll just wait. She'll be out in a minute, I guess. We might plan something for Friday night. Teachers like to get away from it all then.
Is that you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Hello, Miss Henshaw. Yes, indeed, it's me. How's our new principal?
Fine, thank you. I want to ask something of you before you get away.
Well, if it's about Leroy's grades, he's a slow starter, but I'm sure by Christmas...
Oh, no. It's not about Leroy. I wanted to ask if you'd be kind enough to be one of our chaperones at the school dance on Friday night.
Friday night? Well...
It's our first dance, and we want some of our school's most distinguished friends.
Thank you. Of course, you usually have couples chaperoning, and I'm not coupled. Uh-huh. Would it be all right if I asked to escort a member of the faculty?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'd prefer that our chaperones didn't escort faculty members to the school dances.
Oh.
However, it's very nice of you to ask me.
Well, I...
I hope you understand.
Yes, indeed.
Of course, if you really want to do something nice for me, you may drive me home this afternoon.
Home? Why, certainly. Yes, indeed.
I have such a tremendous load of papers to carry. It'll be a big help. I'll run and get them.
Yeah, all righty. Hmm. I didn't mean to ask her to the dance. Well, I hope she hurries. If Grace sees me drive off with her, she might misunderstand.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Oop, Grace.
May I get in?
Well.
I saw you waving to me through the window, but I couldn't wave back at the moment. Nice of you to wait for me.
Well, as a matter of fact, I started out waiting for you. But right now, I'm waiting for somebody else.
Oh, yes. What happened to Leroy? I saw him here at the car.
He ran off to watch football practice.
Well, are we just going to sit here until that's over?
Grace?
What's the matter? Are you out of gas?
Just about. You see, I'm waiting for Miss Henshaw.
The principal?
I'm supposed to take her home.
Oh.
It's a funny thing, the way it came about. I was sitting here in the car, and I just waved to you through the window when Miss Henshaw came along.
Excuse me, Throckmorton. If you don't mind, I'll hear about it another time.
What?
There's Miss Gregg. I'll ride home with her.
I can take you both. I've got plenty of room.
It's a little crowded to me. Goodbye.
Yes, but Grace, goodbye. I'm still trying to call Miss Tuttle. I've got to explain about this afternoon.
Excuse me, do you want me whole dinner?
No, we'll eat, Bertie. I'll try later.
We don't have to eat now. We can have it or hold it.
Well, let's have it.
We don't have to. We can hold it.
Never mind, Bertie.
If you want to get your call through, I can bring a tray to the phone.
No, thanks.
You eat off a tray looking at television. No reason why you can't eat off a tray talking on the phone.
Bertie, just put the dinner on the table.
Yes, sir. We can have it or hold it.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I didn't put down the tray.
The table, Bertie, the table.
Yes.
Miss Tuttle still won't answer the phone, huh, Unc?
No. I'm sure she isn't avoiding me. She undoubtedly stepped out.
Yeah, after you threw her over for the principal, she probably threw herself in the river.
No, Leroy.
She probably walked dejectedly to the riverbank. Looked into the dark, swirling water and said, "Farewell, cruel world."
Confound it, Leroy. This is a serious matter.
You're fighting it, Unc. Maybe this is fate.
Fate?
Why date the seventh grade teacher when you could be going out with the principal? Where's your ambition?
Watch it, young man.
You could go right to the top.
Leroy, I'm not interested.
I am. Then if Miss Tuttle gave me a bad grade, the principal could change it.
Leroy.
Well, a kid's got to think of all the angles.
Miss Tuttle is an old and dear friend of mine, while Miss Henshaw is a stranger in town.
Yeah, but what a keen-looking stranger.
Yeah, I think I'll try Grace once more before dinner.
Dinner time! I'm on the phone again!
Oh, why doesn't she answer?
Miss Gilsey, I thought she said Guido.
Well, that's right, Bertie.
I could have held it, but you said put it on.
Yeah, I know, Bertie.
So I put it on. You want me to take it off?
Yeah, I'll be right there.
If you're in a stew with your girlfriend, it won't hurt my stew.
All right, Bertie.
You know why it won't hurt my stew? Because stew ain't what we're having for dinner.
Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this evening?
Nothing, Peavy. Just killing a little time. I'm due at a big function this evening.
I notice you're in your blue serge. Dedicating a new water main, are you?
No. Miss Henshaw, the principal, asked me to chaperone a school dance.
You don't say.
Yeah, I wanted to have a date with Miss Tuttle, but Miss Henshaw said no taking faculty members to the dance.
Miss Tuttle was in the pharmacy this afternoon. She said she was going to the dance.
She is?
So you'll see her after all. Your problems are over.
Over. If Grace couldn't understand why I drove the principal home, what'll she say when she sees Miss Henshaw has invited me to chaperone?
She'd say that two-time and water peddler and hit you over the head with your own bucket.
Peavy, let's face it. I'm in a jam.
Well, if you use your head, you can get out of this.
Oh?
Even if you don't take Miss Duddle to the dance, you can take her home.
Say, that's an idea.
I remember back in my karting days, I took a horse to a dance and brought Mrs. Peavy home.
You what?
Of course, I brought the horse home, too. We were in the buggy.
Well, I didn't think you drove Mrs. Peavy home.
Oh, my, no. There's any driving to be done, you know who'd be in the harness. I'll never forget that night. It was cold and wintry, and we had to snuggle up a little bit to keep warm.
Yeah, I'll bet.
That was the night Mrs. Peavy said yes.
Was that the night you proposed?
I didn't say anything. My teeth were chattering, and when I got down on my knees to buckle my galoshes, she said yes.
Peavy, you're kidding. But when I go to the dance, I'm going to take your advice.
You going to propose?
No. Now, when I get a chance to speak to Grace, I'll just ask if I can take her home.
That's what I say.
Well, I'll be on my way, Peavy.
Very well, but that'll be 25 cents.
25 cents?
Well, you didn't buy anything. I should get something for the advice.
Good night, Peavy. Goodness, what a dance. Boys on one side and the girls on the other. You wonder if Grace is here yet.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Good evening, Miss Henshaw.
I'm so glad you arrived a little early.
Yes, indeed. You know the water commissioner. Always on tap.
Fine. Since you're alone, I wonder if you'll be kind enough to take charge of the record player.
You me spin the platters? Well, delighted.
Good. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'll go greet the other chaperone.
Just leave it to me, Miss Henshaw. Let's see. What have we here?
Hi, Unc.
Hello, Leroy.
You in charge of records?
Yeah.
Put on Dragnet.
Leroy, how can you dance to Dragnet?
Who wants to dance? Play it and we'll clear out the joint. They'll think it's a raid. Dum-da-da-da.
Young man, go line up your first dance.
I got it already. I'm dancing with Piggy.
Piggy? You're supposed to dance with girls.
Well, they're on to me. I got two left feet.
Well, go dance with Ethel Hammerschlag. She'll dance with anybody.
Oh,
no. Say, there's Grace. Why, George, she's pretty. Yeah, there's something about her redhead in a green dress. Yo, Grace! You! Surprise!
Why, Throckmorton, what are you doing here?
Miss Henshaw invited me to chaperone.
Oh, so that's your principal reason.
Now, Grace.
Hey!
Just a minute, Leroy. Grace, you've got the wrong idea. There's nothing between Miss Henshaw and me.
Well, I assure you I won't stand between you.
Grace, I'll explain everything.
I'm not interested in an explanation, particularly.
My first thought was to invite you to the dance. But Miss Henshaw said I shouldn't bring a faculty member.
Oh, she did.
No, Grace, don't take it personally. She doesn't even know we've been going together.
Does it have to be a secret?
Oh, no. No, as a matter of fact, after the dance is over, I'd like to take you home. How about it?
Well, I don't know. It was very embarrassing the other day when I had to get out of your car because you were waiting for her.
It wasn't my idea, and it won't happen again, believe me. Yeah, I'll meet you at the door right after the dance is over.
Well,
Grace, you know there's nobody but you.
You do sound convincing.
That's because it comes from the heart.
All right, Throckmorton, I'll meet you at the door.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Hey, Unc.
Hey, what is it, Leroy?
Are you going to flip records or just flip your lid over Miss Tuttle?
Young man. I'm not going home.
I get it. You're taking my Stuttle.
Smart boy. Yeah, she's waiting at the door. I'd better hurry.
Just a moment, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, hello, Miss Henshaw. Nice party.
Wasn't it? I want to thank you for being such a splendid chaperone.
You're glad to do it. Well, good night.
Before you go...
Yes?
Would you help me close the windows and lock the auditorium?
Me? Why...
Unless you're in a hurry to get home.
No, no, I'm in no hurry to get home. Yeah, I mean...
Wonderful. I hate to be in a big, empty school building all alone.
Well, I guess it won't take long. I hope Grace doesn't think I'm standing her up.
Now, this window always sticks. Will you help me pull it down?
You know, I think I can manage Miss Henshaw. He'll finish his job in a jiffy. Yeah. Yeah. It's coming. Oh! Right on my finger.
Oh, did you hurt your finger? I'm terribly sorry. Let me see.
Oh, practically nothing.
Oh.
I wish you wouldn't hold my hand.
Oh, dear. I'm afraid you're going to lose this nail.
Oh, well, I've got nine more. Let's close the window and get out of here.
Oh, excuse me.
Why, Miss Tuttle, are you still here?
Yes, I'm still here.
You didn't have to come back to help.
I didn't. I'm just passing through.
Oh. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, let's close the rest of the windows and be careful of your finger.
Yeah, I think I'll close this one on my neck.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. The Great Gildersleeve has been caught in the web of circumstances. Twice now, Miss Tuttle, the pretty teacher, thought she had a date with our water commissioner, only to find him in the company of the school principal, Miss Henshaw.
The least Grace Tuttle can do is give me a chance to explain.
Well, she isn't usually like that.
What?
She gives me plenty of chances in class. I can never explain anything.
Yeah.
Well, there's one sure thing, Leroy. You ain't learning as much from them teachers as your uncle is.
Yeah, I'm getting a Ph.D. in the School of Hard Knocks, Bertie.
Yes, sir. And you're getting an L.L.A. to boot.
What's an L.L.A.?
Let love alone.
Yes, yes. Well, I've done all I can. I've tried to phone her, gone by her apartment. I've even sent her a note by you, Leroy.
Yeah.
What did she say?
Nothing. She just corrected the spelling.
There was nothing wrong with the spelling.
Yes, there was. You spelled explain, E-X-P-L-E-A-N.
That was not an E. I just forgot to dot the I.
Anyway, you flunked. Don't worry, Unc. You just mope around the house over the weekend, and when I go to school next Monday, I'll tell Miss Tuttle how miserable you've been.
Who's miserable? If Miss Tuttle chooses to believe I'm becoming interested in the school principal, by George, I'll accommodate her.
You mean you'll admit it?
Well, I'm not interested in her, Leroy, but I will say she's attractive enough.
Mr. Gildersleeve ain't gonna be caught without a good-looking girl.
No, Bertie. If I make a date with the principal, it'll only be to teach Miss Tuttle a lesson. Leroy. Show Grace Tuttle she isn't the only pebble on the beach. You have a notion to phone the principal and ask her for a date right now. Hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
Well, I want to use your phone. Where's the directory?
Right here.
Yeah, thanks.
How was your dance the other evening?
Peavy, that's a sore subject.
Miss Tuttle step on your toes?
No, she won't even talk to me because she's jealous of Miss Henshaw. Now I'm going to give her something to be jealous about.
My, my.
Yeah, here we are. Right here. Irene Henshaw.
Mr. Gildersleeve, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You know what they say about rebound romance.
Well, I'm not rebounding. I'm snapping back.
You seem pretty confident Miss Henshaw will give you the date.
Well, why shouldn't she? She hasn't been here long enough to know anybody else. And she doesn't know I go with anybody.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Miss Henshaw?
Yes.
This is Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve, your chaperone par excellence. Remember?
Oh, of course, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, I thought you'd like to know what a good friend of the school thinks of you.
I certainly would. I hope I'm doing a good job.
Oh, yes, indeed. In fact, this friend thinks you deserve an evening out, away from children.
Really? Who is this friend?
Me.
My, my.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you're a very persistent fellow.
What?
First you wanted to take me to the school dance.
Yeah, I did? Yeah, I mean, yes, I did.
And I suppose such perseverance should be rewarded.
Yes, indeed. Would you like to pin the medal on me tonight?
Well...
He doesn't need a medal with all that brass.
You need the recreation. All work and no play, you know.
Perhaps I do. Would you like to come over about 8?
Yeah, I'll be there at 7:45.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Hot dog. Peavy, wrap up your best box of candy.
Yeah, well, now I'm very happy you got the date.
Yeah, good old Peavy. You like to see me win out, don't you?
To tell you the truth, Mr. Gildersleeve, I like to sell candy.
It's been a wonderful evening, Throckmorton.
Well, I've enjoyed it too, Irene. You just think. A little while ago, it was Miss Henshaw and Mr. Gildersleeve. Now it's Irene and Throckmorton.
Well, I'd better go in now.
Well, so soon? Why can't we sit here in the porch swing a few minutes? It's a mild evening.
Well, all right, for a minute.
Oop. Someday I'll come by and bring my oil can and take the squeak out of those chains. It'll be another excuse to see you.
A big boy like you doesn't have to bring an excuse to the teacher.
Fine. Right, George, I'm glad I got the idea to call you tonight.
So am I. The movie was fun. Most men seem to think they have to take the school principal to the museum or some such place.
Well, you aren't going to get me into any museums until I'm prehistoric.
You know, Throckmorton, I didn't realize there was a moon tonight.
Well, he probably didn't know we were going to be together. Yeah, I don't see it. Where is he?
Just coming up through the trees, right there.
I can't quite see it from here. Huh? Mind if I move over closer to you? Yeah. Yeah.
You must be able to see it very well now.
If Grace could see me now. Grace? Yeah, I mean Irene.
Yes?
May I take you to the junior high football game this week?
I think that would be very nice, but are you sure you want to ask me?
What do you mean?
You just called me Grace.
Yeah, I did? No, I didn't mean her.
Could Grace by any chance be Miss Tuttle?
No, Irene, she doesn't mean anything to me. As a matter of fact, I'd like to take you to the game and sit right where she can see us.
Oh?
Yeah, I don't know what you heard, but...
I'm just beginning to hear quite a lot. I had no idea you were going with Miss Tuttle.
No, I'm not.
Since when?
You know, since the night you had me closing the windows.
All of 2 nights ago. So that's why she acted so strangely when she walked through the room.
Well...
How could I have been so taken in?
Now, Irene, Miss Henshaw.
The children at school try to work angles all day. I thought I could drop my guard at night.
But...
I must go in, Throckmorton.
Wait a minute, Irene. Don't go in. We scarcely know each other.
I think we know each other. Good night.
Miss Henshaw, no game?
The game is over.
Hello, Peavy.
Well, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. How was your date last night?
Don't mention it.
Very well. Is it all right to bring up the moon? It looked very romantic last night.
I felt like throwing rocks at it.
You don't care.
Peavy, I'm off women. Why I ever got mixed up with 2 school teachers, I'll never know.
Well, if a man isn't too smart, he shouldn't get mixed up with teachers.
Well, I've gotten smart. I'm through with teachers.
I take it Miss Henshaw didn't want to compete with Miss Tuttle.
It was the worst mistake I ever made.
Trying to go with two teachers is like trying to go with two sisters.
Yes, your right hand is pretty sure to know what your left hand is doing.
That's an astute observation. Women.
Good evening, Mr. Peavy.
Well, hello, Miss Parrish.
No.
What can I do for you this afternoon?
I need a new lipstick.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'd say the one she has is perfect.
We have quite a selection here, if Mr. Gildersleeve will excuse us.
You know, I'm in no hurry. No hurry at all. Go right ahead, Peavy, and wait on
Miss Parrish, you're new in town. I wonder if you've met our distinguished water commissioner, Mr. Gildersleeve.
How do you do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Delighted to know you, Miss Parrish.
Mr. Gildersleeve is not only the water commissioner, he's one of our most eligible bachelors.
Really?
Oh, Peavy.
Well, I'd better select my lipstick. Oh, and I see you have sunglasses. I'll need some if I'm going to the football game tomorrow.
Very well.
You like football, Miss Parrish?
Oh, I never miss a game if I can help it.
Well, I'd plan to go tomorrow.
Oh?
Since we'll both be going, perhaps you'd go with me, if you're not busy.
He says he hates women.
Well, I hardly know what to say, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, you might say yes. Mr. Peavy here will vouch for me. In fact, he already has.
Oh, yes. You'll be safe with Mr. Gildersleeve.
I'll go. It sounds like fun.
Great. It's a date.
It's a date. After all, when a girl comes to a new town, she has to make new friends.
Yeah, you're right as rain, Miss Parrish. By the way, what brought you to Summerfield?
I'm the new first grade teacher.
Oh!
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just 30 seconds.
Nothing like a good fire on a dreary afternoon, Leroy.
Don't you wish you'd taken Miss Parrish to the game instead of sitting here with me?
No, my boy, I'm fed up. I'm in trouble with every woman I know. They've got me in a corner. And I'm trapped.
Yeah?
Nobody can set a trap like a woman. When Miss Tuttle came out to the car while I was waiting for Miss Henshaw, I was trapped.
I'll say.
Miss Henshaw trapped me when she asked me to help lock up the school. And if I'd taken that first grade teacher, Miss Parrish, to the game, I'd have been trapped again.
I'm going to steer clear of women.
What's this?
When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. I'm not going to get married.
Wait a minute, my boy. You shouldn't say that. One of these days, some pretty little girl will come along and you'll see things differently.
Yeah?
After all, man can't get along without woman. They're indispensable. Woman is the cornerstone of the family. They make the home. They comfort and inspire man to greater things. Now, do you understand why you have to get married?
Yeah, I'll be trapped.
Hey. Good night, folks.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Willard Waterman and is an NBC Radio Network production. The show is written by John Elliott and Andy White and is transcribed. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Schiff, Lillian Randolph, Joanne Jordan, Kathy Lewis, and Dick LeGrand. Musical compositions by Jack Meekin. This is John Heaston saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products. Be sure to listen in next week and every week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
You are listening to Radio Vault on WHFR. We just heard of the Great Gildersleeve. You knew that, right? From October 14 of 1953, Willard Waterman whose voice sounded so similar to Harold Perry that most listeners didn't even notice when the actors changed. Now we're going to make way in just a moment for the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Humphrey Bogart in The Treasure of Sierra Madre. Time, of course, you know you're listening to Radio Vault every Tuesday between 10 and 1 o'clock here on WHFR. And as always, if you like mysteries, we do that on Sunday night, late night. Sunday night mystery extravaganza from 9 in the p.m. until all the way up until 12 midnight. We ask you to dim the lights and listen to a spine chiller or a detective whodunit or a suspense show. That's Sunday night after 9 o'clock here on 89.3 WHFR.
As life starts moving faster and faster, we need to make a choice to move faster with it or to step off every now and then to marvel at the wonders around us, to take in new sights and sounds, songs and experiences, and to just remember how beautiful life can be. Let's take a deep breath and remember that each Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m., there's Afternoon Jazz with Mr. Jags. Basking in the middle of a Wednesday afternoon, a place where this season we can all savor the moment and take a deep breath of pure jazz. Your journey begins on 89.3 WHFR.
Founded in 2016 and sponsored by the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce, the Detroit Promise ensures that any student graduating from any high school in the city of Detroit will have a tuition-free path to an associate degree or technical certificate. Henry Ford College has been a proud participant in the Detroit Promise since the beginning. With 66% of all Detroit Promise students attending HFC, it is the largest Detroit Promise enrollment of any college. For more information, visit hfcc.edu/Detroit-Promise or DetroitPromise.com today.
Over 60 and retired? Making ends meet, especially at the supermarket, is tough. BenefitsCheckup.org is a free website that helps you pay for food, medicine, even utilities. Visit BenefitsCheckup.org.
And from the campus of Henry Ford College, you are in tune with listener-supported non-commercial radio, WHFR Dearborn. It's time now for, as promised, the Lux Radio Theater. Now, the Lux Radio Theater, if you've listened to this program for any period of time, you know that Lux, they took feature films that were happening at the time and turn them into radio scripts. So let's listen to one of those productions right now on WHFR Dearborn.
Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Humphrey Bogart and Walter Houston in The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's play is an exciting, dramatic story of a man's greed for gold. It was one of the really fine motion pictures of recent years, a Warner Brothers hit, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And tonight we present the original stars of the film, Humphrey Bogart and Walter Houston, the latter in the role that won him an Academy Award. Our stars are on stage, and here's the curtain for The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart as Dobbs and Walter Houston as Howard.
First time I come up with them was in Tampico. That's a seaport town. Tampico, northeast Mexico. I was having a beer near the docks when they came in. Hot Sunday afternoon.
You a fellow American?
Yeah, that's right, mister. What do you want?
I want to know about a guy named McCormick. You ever hear of him?
McCormick? McCormick. Oh, yeah, in the oil business. That's right, oil.
Have you seen him lately? Where can we find him?
Well, you gentlemen, I'd run clear McCormick. Hires a crew to work in the oil field, see, then he never pays him off. Slick. Slick like oil.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't mean to tell me he's hooked two smart fellow Americans like you.
That's right, Pop. 6 weeks in the oil fields, 120 in the shade. Only I ain't through with Mr. McCormick. Fred C. Dobbs is going to get his wages, see?
Come on, Dobbs, let's have a beer.
I could hear him talking with the bar. Drifters, both of them. Not what you'd call good friends, either. Just a couple of guys that happened to wind up in Tampico. Yeah, just like me. Only difference is they're young. Yeah, I see him again that night. They came wandering in the flop house. 50 centavos for a bed. Me? I'm sitting up talking to a couple of sailors. The subject of the conversation is gold.
Hey, Pop, you mean there's gold here in Mexico?
Not 10 days from this very spot. Whole mountain of gold's waiting for the right guy to come along, discover a treasure, and then tickle her till she lets him have it. Question is, are you the right guy? Tell me something. Why is gold worth some 20 bucks an ounce?
I don't know, Pop. Because it's scarce, I guess.
1,000 men say go searching for gold. After 6 months, one of them's lucky. 1 out of 1,000. Now, his find represents not only his own labor, but that of 999 others to boot. That's 6,000 months or 500 years, scrabbling over mountains, going hungry and thirsty. An ounce of gold, mister, is worth what it is because of human labor that went into finding the getting of it.
Yeah, never thought of it just like that.
Well, there's no other explanation, mister. You start out, you tell yourself you'll be satisfied with 25,000 handsome smackers worth of it. So help my Lord and cross my heart. Fine resolution. After much of sweating yourself dizzy and growing short on provisions and finding nothing, you finally come down to 15,000, then 10. Finally you say, Lord, let me just find $5,000 worth and never ask for anything more the rest of my life.
Yeah, $5,000 is still a lot of dough.
Yeah, here in this joint seems like a lot, but I tell you, if it was to make a real strike, you couldn't be dragged away. Not even the threat of miserable death could keep you from trying to add 10,000 more. Get 10, you want 25. 25, you want to get 50. 50, 100. Like roulette. One more turn, you know, always one more.
It wouldn't be that way with me.
Oh, hello, mister. You didn't find McCormick, huh?
I'll find him. But about gold, I swear it wouldn't be that way with me. I take only what I set out to get, even if there was still $500,000 lying around, just waiting to be picked up.
I have dug for gold all over the world. I know what gold does to a man.
You talk as if you once struck it rich. How about it, Pop?
Yeah, what are you doing in here? A down and outer.
That's the gold, mister. That's what it makes of us. Never knew a prospector yet that died rich. Sure, I'm an odd old bone now, but say, don't you guys think the spirit's gone? I'm all set to shoulder a pick and shovel any time anybody's willing to share expenses.
I'll bet you are.
Rather go by myself. Going it alone's the best way. You've got to have a stomach for loneliness. On the other hand, going with a partner or two is dangerous. Murder's always lurking about. Partners accusing each other of all sorts of meanness.
So why should finding gold make a man any different? If he's the right kind of a man to start with, gold ain't going to change him.
You ever tried running her down, mister? Ever tried prospecting?
No, I ain't.
You didn't have the answer to that. Yeah, I knew that answer.
You know it all, Pop. Well, I think I'll go to sleep and dream about piles of gold growing bigger and bigger and bigger.
A week later, I see him again, Dobbs and Curtin, all lumps and bloodied up. Looking for me, they were, something to tell me. They take me to a cantina and put a bottle of beer under my nose.
So we found McCormick, Pop.
Yeah, and it looks like you found a peck of trouble, too.
Well, we got our wages, every last penny.
Yeah, we've been thinking. Why not try digging gold for a change? Well, it ain't any riskier than waiting around here for a break. And this is a country where the nuggets of gold are just crying for you to take them out of the ground and make them shine on coins. Now the fingers and necks are swell dames. Well, that's what you said the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, what's so funny? Living out in the open is cheaper than living in town. Our money would last longer.
Yeah, sure it would, sure. Only you have to have equipment. Ever think of that? How much that all cost?
Well, we figured we'd ask you. We ain't denying anything. When you come right down to it, we don't know much about prospecting. Of course, if you wasn't so old...
Maybe I'd go with you, huh? Is that what's on your mind? You want to take me along?
Would you go?
Would I? Say, what a question. Of course I'll go. Any time, any day, out for gold. Always at your service. Well, I got 200 American bucks ready cash. Last money I got in the world. How much dough you guys got to put in?
150 bucks. Curtin here has the same.
Total 500. Ain't hardly enough to buy the tools, weapons, and essential provisions.
What do we need guns for?
Well, for one thing, meat. For another thing, bandits. Bandit country's where we'd be gone. We ought to have 600 bucks between us.
Well, that much, huh?
Can't dig up anymore, huh?
Not a red cent.
Senor Dobbs, I look all over for you. Give me my money, senor. Give me my money.
Get away from me, will you?
Senor, you don't comprehend.
You comprehend a glass full of beer right in your kisser if you don't leave me alone. I tell you, I don't want any lottery tickets, and I'll beat it.
Lottery tickets? Well, that's for gambling men.
But always whoever wins the lucky number gives the seller a present of 10%.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Dobbs. He's trying to tell you he sold you the winning ticket.
Here, look. The list of all the winning numbers. You buy ticket for 5 centavos, remember? 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I remember. What about it?
You win, senor. A 200-peso prize.
Give me that paper, oh. Just look at that fat, rich, printed number.
You got the ticket?
Sure, I got the ticket. Oh, 200 pesos. Welcome, sweet little smackaroos. Here, son, here's a present for you with my blessings.
Go to the lottery office, senor. Get the money.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations yourself. You stand a profit out of this the same as I do.
How do you figure that?
But did he just say we needed 600 bucks? Well, that's what we got now, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Just like that. Stroke of fate. Fortunate circumstance.
But how come you're putting up for me?
Because this is an all-or-nothing proposition. We make a find, we'll be lighting cigars with $100 bills. If we don't, the difference between what you put up and what I put up ain't enough to keep me from being right back where I was this afternoon, polishing a park bench with the seat of my pants. Put her there, pardon.
Thanks, Dobbs.
Well, gentlemen, now here's what we do. We'll take a train to Perla. That's a little town at the foot of the Sierra Madre Mountains. And there, when we're there, we'll buy our burrs and get away from the railroad. No use looking for gold anywhere near a railroad. You gotta have, we gotta go where there's no trails at all. Just bandits.
Now, that sounds okay to me. Okay, partner?
Sure.
Yeah. We gotta go where no surveyor, anybody who knows anything about prospecting, has ever been there before. Well, drink up, gentlemen. Drink up. We'll buy a map and some railroad tickets. Bought about half our gear there in Tampico and then took the train for Perla. About 50 miles from Perla out in the desert, there's a big boulder on the tracks. Bandits trying to raid the train.
Hey, they're retreating. Look, they're retreating. Look, they're riding off.
Hey, save your bullets, Mr. Dobbs. You're too far off now.
I got 3 of them. Credit me with 3. How many did you get?
Couple, I guess.
Bandits. Guess they were expected. That's how come so many federal soldiers riding on this train.
That bandit that rode right up to the train. The one with the gold hat.
Yeah, I had my sights on him nice as you please. But the train gave a jolt and I missed him. I sure wish I could have got him.
Well, you boys cooled off enough to look at this map?
Huh? Oh, sure.
Yeah, it ain't much of a map. Don't properly show whether it's mountain or desert. That shows the makers of the map themselves don't know for sure. That's good. What are you doing, Dobbs?
Why, reloading. Can't tell if them bandits may come back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, wake me up when the shooting starts.
Una media luna arriba. Eso lo mismo. Una media luna arriba,
my friend. Hey, Pop. What's he saying, the storekeeper?
He's proving he's got a right to sell us these burrs. They all got the same brand, see? Letter A. Elsewise, some native or Indian might meet up with us and claim our burrs.
I will load your supplies on the burro, senor.
Oh, thanks, son. Thanks. Yeah.
My father is much worried for you, senor.
Worried? What's he worried for?
Yeah, we paid him, didn't we?
Well, he says we're going into very wild country, jungles, and then high mountains. Some tigers so big and strong, they can climb a tree with a burr in their mouth.
Tigers?
here?
Yeah, more like leopards, I guess. Well, I'm glad to hear such tall tales, gentlemen. That means mighty few outsiders have ever set foot there.
Yeah, well, let's get going then.
Come on, kid, shake it up. We're in a hurry. Get them burros loaded.
Hey, Curtin, take it easy. This mountain climbing ain't like a walk around the block.
I'm dead. Let's sit a while.
Yeah. If there is gold in these mountains, how long would it have been here? Millions and millions of years, wouldn't it? And then what's our hurry? A couple of days, more or less, ain't gonna matter.
Look at the old man, way ahead of us there.
Yeah.
You and me scared we'd have to pack him on our backs.
Yeah. That was when I took him for an ordinary human being. He's part goat. Let him climb, will you?
If I'd have known what prospecting meant, I'd have stayed in Tampico and waited for another job to turn up.
I couldn't. Look.
What's the matter?
These rocks. Look, these little veins running through the rocks. Look at them glitter, yellow, too, like gold.
Gold? We've been sitting on a gold mine.
Get the water bag. Wash some of that dirt off. Say, Howard, come back. We found something.
Yeah, we found something. Here's the water.
There's a vein all over the rock. We've struck it, Curtin. Look over there. It's in all the rocks, just like he said, a bonanza.
Howard, look. Look at these rocks.
Oh, they're full of gold, veins of gold.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to show me? Yeah, I saw it when I passed by. Gentlemen, this stuff wouldn't pay your dinner for a carload.
It ain't gold?
Pyrite, fool's gold. Oh, not there ain't plenty of the real stuff hereabouts. Walked over it 4 or 5 times already.
You mean we've been passing it up? Why?
Not enough of it. Not enough to pay us a good day's wages. Well, you figure to sit it out here all day?
Come on, Kurt, let's go.
Next time you fellas strike it rich, holler for me before it starts splashing water around. Water's precious. Sometimes it'll be more precious than gold. Get, you burro. Get, burro.
That was a fine country, inspiring. Didn't see a soul, just the beasts of the jungle and birds, all bright, gay colors.
Felt good, 10 years younger. Better man than either of them. Warm down to just plain gristle. Coming out, well, they just lay on the ground, puffing and groaning. Too dogged out to set up and eat their beans.
I can't move. I just want to lie here.
Yeah.
Hey, ain't you guys going to eat some beans? You want some beans? Going through some mighty rough country tomorrow. You better have some beans.
Oh, shut up, Pop. Go on, eat them up. Let us alone.
How's your feet feel, Dobbsy? Bet you jump up like a jackrabbit was a pretty woman to stroll by. Bet your feet wouldn't bother you not then.
That wind. It's blowing up awful cold.
Getting cold, is it? Getting cold. Feels like a norther.
Yeah.
And they blow hard. They set that desert country up down there on its hind legs. We're lucky to be up here, all right.
Lucky.
Reckon there's only a couple more days of this heavy stuff. Pretty soon we'll be leveling off. Pretty soon now.
Howard, come here. A couple of more days, you said. That was 3 nights ago.
We've had enough, Howard. Dobbs and me, we want to give up.
Give up, huh?
Yeah. Leave the whole outfit right here. Go back to civilization.
Well, tell my whole grandmother. Go back to civilization. I got 2 very fine, elegant bedfellows who kick at the first drop of rain and hide the closet when thunder rumbles. My. What great prospect.
I'll lay off us, Howard.
Yeah, 2 shoe clerks is what you are. 2 shoe clerks reading a magazine about prospecting for the land, gold in the lands of midnight sun. South of the border, west of the Rockies.
Shut your trap. Shut up, or I'll smash your head flat.
Go ahead. Pick up that rock and throw it. Go ahead. If you did, you'd never leave this wilderness alive. Without me, you 2 would die here more miserable than rats.
Leave him alone, Dobbs. Can't you see the old man's nuts?
Nuts, am I? Let me tell you something, my 2 fine bedfellows. You're so dumb, there's nothing to compare you with. You're dumber than the dumbest jackass. Look at you. Did you ever see anything you like those for being dumb specimens? You're so dumb, you don't even see the riches you're treading on with your own feet. Look at me. I'm doing a dance on a mountain of gold.
What are you talking about? This is it? There's gold here?
Yeah, what'd you expect to see? Nuggets of molten gold? Sure, it's here. Rich, Rich, too, but not rich enough for me. Yeah, and here ain't the place to dig. Comes from someplace further up. Up there. See? That's where we've got to go. Up there. Only I'm going alone, because my two courageous companions have agreed between themselves to desert and go back. Well, go on. Get.
I'll take one more day of it. What do you say, Kurt? One more day won't kill us.
Yeah, change your minds, huh? Thank you, my two fine friends. You move me to tears with your faith and trust in me. One more day, huh? Then you can follow my trail, because I'm going to be camping there tonight.
This is it, Howard? This stuff right here?
Yeah, this is it, all right.
Gold. Sure don't look what I... like I thought it would.
It's just sand. That's just sand.
Yeah. It's just like plain sand. It don't glitter. I thought it would glitter.
Oh, it'll glitter when it's refined. But that's another guy's job. Yeah, you got to know how to recognize it. That ain't all. Not to find it, not by a long shot. You got to know how to tickle her so she'll come out. Yeah. It's mighty rich, this sand. It'll pay good.
How good?
Oh, about 20 ounces a ton.
At some $20 an ounce.
How many tons can we handle
depends
in a week?
Depends on how hard we work. Well, we better pitch our camp down the mountain a bit.
Why do that when the gold is here?
In case anybody happens by, bandits or soldiers chasing bandits or Indians, or a pretty woman out for a stroll. In that case, we'll tell them we're hunters. And maybe we'll get away with it, maybe.
Hunters? Wouldn't it be easier just to file a claim?
Easier, maybe, but not so profitable. Wouldn't be no time till an emissary from one of those big mining companies would be right up here with a paper in his hand, showing us we had no right to be here. Well, how does it feel, you fellers, to be men of property?
I'm sorry about the fuss we kicked up, Pop. Guess we was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we made it, and we're here. Men of property, what do you know?
Yeah, everything's going to be all right from now on, huh? Everything's going to be fine.
Sure it is. Why not?
Why not? Why not? Well, we'll find out, won't we, Dotsie? Yeah, we'll find out.
Our stars will return in a moment with Act Two of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Here's our producer, William Keeley.
Act Two of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart as Dobbs and Walter Houston as Howard.
Oh, for a month we didn't mine a grain of ore. There were things to do. First, setting up camp, corral for the burrs, and a sluiceway out the creek to wash out the gold. Finally, the time come when we weighed our first take of the treasure.
How much, Howard? How much you figure we got?
Oh, about $5,000 worth, I reckon.
That's not bad. When do we start dividing it up?
Why divide it now? When the time comes, we're all going back together.
I'm for dividing as we go along. Make each guy responsible for his own goods.
Well, I just soon have it that way. I haven't liked the responsibility of guarding your treasure any too well.
Who asked you to, Pop?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you never asked me. Only I thought I was the most trustworthy of the three.
You? How come?
I said trustworthy. As far as being honest, well, no one can say.
I don't get it.
All right, suppose you were charged with taking care of the goods. One day I'm deep in the brush and Curtin's on his way to the village to get provisions. That'd be your big chance to pack up and leave us in the cold.
Only a guy that's a thief at heart would think me likely to pull a stunt like that.
Well, right now it wouldn't be worth your while, but, when the pile has grown, yes, sir. Think of such things you will.
Yeah, how about yourself?
Oh, me? Well, I'm not picking the feet any longer. You fellas are a lot tougher than when we started out. Yeah, you'd have me strung up in no time. That's why I think I'm the most trustworthy.
Well, looking at it that way, I guess you're right. But let's do like Dobbs says, divide the proceeds every night.
Well, by me, gentlemen. And each one of us will have to hide his share of the treasure from the other two, huh?
Well, why not?
Having done so, he'll have to be forever on the watch to see that his hiding place is not discovered.
And what a dirty, filthy mind you got.
Oh, no. No, not dirty, baby. Only I know what kind of ideas even supposedly decent people get when gold's at stake. All right, Curtin, hand me them weighing scales. Here she goes, boys, three ways.
Venison stew. Sure tastes good, Pop. Where's Dobbs?
He ate before.
Alone?
Yeah.
Tell me something, Pop. What are you going to do with all your hard-earned money?
Oh, I reckon I'll settle down some quiet place, get me a little business, hardware, grocery store, spend the better part of my time reading comic strips and adventure stories. One thing's for sure, I'm not going prospecting again.
Well, what's all that about?
Oh, we're just John Dobbsy, telling each other what we'll do when we get back.
Me? I got it all figured. First off, I'm going to get a brand new set of duds, a dozen of everything. And I'm going to a swell cafe. Order everything on the bill of fare, and if it ain't just right, and even if it is, I'm going to ball out the manager and make him take it all back.
What's next on the program?
Well, what would be?
You know what? We ought to put up some kind of a limit on our take. Agree now that when we get so much, well, we'll just pull up stakes and beat it.
What kind of a limit?
Oh, say $25,000 worth for each man.
$25,000? Small potatoes, 50 anyway. 75 would be more like it. I'm young. I need dough and plenty of it.
No use making hogs of ourselves.
Hog, am I? Maybe you don't know it. I'd be within my rights if I demanded half again as much as you get.
How come?
Well, I put up the lion's share of the cash, didn't I?
Well, so you did, Dobbsy. I always meant to pay you back.
In any civilized place, the biggest investor gets the biggest return, don't he?
That's one thing in favor of the wilds.
Oh, not that I intended to demand it, but I'd be within my rights if I did. So next time you go calling me a hog, just remember what I could have done if I'd wanted to. It's funny, ain't it, Pop? Yeah, real funny. Yeah, catch me sleeping, huh? I'm not that dumb. Hey, them guys try to put anything over on me, it'll be a costly one for both of them. Any more lip out of them and I'll let them have it. You know what's good for you? You don't monkey around with Fred C. Dobbs.
What'd you say, Dobbs?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
You better look out. Bad sign when a guy starts talking to him.
Yeah? Well, who else am I going to talk to? Certainly not to you or Curtin. And don't get the idea you two are putting anything over on me. I know what your game is.
Well, you know more than I do.
So why am I elected to go to the village tomorrow? Why me instead of you or Curtin? Time I'd be gone, give you plenty of chance to discover where I hid my goods, wouldn't it?
You got any fear along those lines? Why don't you take your goods with you?
Well, run the risk of having them taken from me by bandits?
They'd kill you anyway, Dobbsy. Just for the sport of it.
Ah, so that's it. You're hoping bandits will get me. That'd save you two a lot of trouble, wouldn't it?
All right, Dobbs. Forget about it.
Well, I ain't going to the village, see? You can go back and tell that to Curtin.
Okay, partner. I'll tell him. So Curtin went down the village for provisions. He was all stirred up coming back. There were soldiers in the village chasing bandits. That wasn't all. He met up with an American, a fellow named Cody.
And he kept pumping me. He followed me into the store, wanted to know what I was doing here.
What did you tell him?
I said I was a hunter, a professional hunter. Kept asking me, did I see anything up here that looked like gold?
Shook him off, Curtin? You got rid of him, huh?
I couldn't. He followed me.
You sure he trailed you?
Yeah, I'm sure.
What makes you so positive?
Because every time... Because if you turn around, you can see for yourself. There he is.
Hello.
All right, you. Walk over here to the fire.
I guess I'm not wanted, huh? I just couldn't resist the chance to sit around and jaw with an American.
Now, don't make any mistake, mister. We got no use for you. We're full up. No vacancies. Go back where you came from. Take our blessing with you.
Thanks.
Hungry, mister? Go on, help yourself.
Yeah. Go ahead. We don't want a guy to starve to death. Tonight you're our guest, see? But tomorrow morning, look out. No trespassing. Beware of the dogs, get it? I got a few hides while you were gone, Curtin. 5 foxes and a tiger.
How are the skins?
Pretty good.
Excuse me for butting in. There's no wild game around here worth going after.
Yeah, you're right, mister, you're right. That's why I've made up my mind to clear out.
Yet it might be pretty good ground for something else.
I told you in the village there's no gold around here.
My boy, if it had been one single ounce of it, I'd have smelled it, believe me.
Then you're not as smart as you appear to be.
Gold, huh? It gives me an idea. Guess I'll sleep on it, gentlemen.
Yeah, me too. See you in the morning, Cody.
Sorry, there's no room in our tent. If you want to, you can roll up here by the fire.
Oh, it's fine. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
I can't figure him out. Is he wise to us or not?
You guys go to sleep. I'll be watchdog for a couple of hours, and then you and Dobbs can take your turns.
You got a gun handy?
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
Didn't get much sleep last night, did you, Fred?
That's fact, we didn't.
Well, let's lay our cards on the table right now, huh? You found gold here, I know it. And because I know it, you'll have to do one of three things.
Now, look who's telling us what we gotta do.
One of three things. Kill me, run me off, or take me in as a partner.
Partner?
Why, we... Now, let's consider the first. If you start killing people, just how far are you prepared to go with it? Another guy may come along tomorrow.
Not much we'd stop at, mister, to protect our interests.
I only say that killing me isn't the answer. As for choice number two, you run me off and... I might very well inform on you. 25% of your gold is the reward I'd get.
It's a pretty strong argument in favor of killing you.
Yeah, I don't deny it. But take me in as a partner and you don't lose anything. I'm not asking for a share of what you've made so far, only in the profits to come. Think it over. I'll be looking after my borrowed.
Well, Howard?
Yeah. Send them away is out of the question. Fred C. Dobbs ain't a guy who likes being taken advantage of. We got no real choice at all. Bump them off.
What do we gain by killing them? I don't mind being taken some advantage of as long as there ain't no money out of my pocket.
And whoever else happens along, they're to be invited in too, come one, come all, huh?
You got a point there, Dobbsy. No question about that. But to kill a man.
What's the matter? Ain't you up to it?
Sure, I'm up to it. Let the majority decide. What do you say, Curtin? For or against?
Well... For or against?
For.
Okay. We'll make it short and sweet for him. Stand right where you are, Cody.
Guns, huh? Gonna shoot me, huh?
Yeah. You convinced us.
Before you start shooting, you better take a look down there in the valley. There's some men coming on horses.
Oh, so that's your stinking game. I knew you was an informer. I knew it all the time.
You're wrong, brother. This means all our funerals.
They're bandits, gentlemen. About a dozen of them.
Someone at the village must have told them about the American hunter up here.
Well, we better start thinking of a way to defend ourselves. We could try hiding the rocks, but then we'd lose the birds and the whole outfit. No, the best thing for us to make a fight of it.
Is it you three against them or us four?
Well, now I guess it's us four.
Yeah. We'll settle your case later.
If you're alive.
He's got something there, Dobbsy. That's right. If we're alive. Bandits turn out to be Gold Hat and his boys. Same crowd that held the train on the way up to Perla. They spotted us, all right. Started pouring it on us. And all at once, they turned and took off. Didn't make sense. And when we saw why, far down the mountain, hot on their trail, was maybe 50 soldiers, Federales. We just stood there watching them shoot it out, half a mile below us.
Look at them Federales. Sick them tight, chew them up and swallow them. Oh, boy, am I happy. Ought to tell you the truth, I was already eating dirt.
You better stay covered, Dobbsy. If them soldiers start spreading out, we may have company after all.
Yeah. Get down, Curtin.
Come here, you guys. Looks like the bandits settled our problem. Cody's dead.
What do you mean he's dead?
Take a look.
Bullet. Right through his neck.
Yeah, I wonder who he was. Maybe better go through his pockets. Maybe he's got folks somewhere. Here's his wallet, Pop. James Cody, Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, and a picture. A girl, a little kid. Guess she's his wife, huh? It's not bad. Well, I guess we better dig a hole for him. Funny how it's all worked out. We didn't have to shoot him after all.
Gentlemen, if you'd ask me, I'd say it's about time we considered leaving this mountain.
How much gold do you figure we got?
Upwards of $35,000 apiece, and I'll tell you what. We ought to be plenty thankful.
Well, let's call it quits, then. The sooner the better.
Take another week to put the mountain back in shape.
Do what to the mountain?
We've wounded this mountain. It's our duty to close her wounds. The least we can do for all the wealth she's given us. If you guys don't want to help me, then I'll do it alone. You talk about a mountain like it was a real woman.
You've been a lot better to me than any woman I ever knew. Keep your shirt on, old-timer. Sure, I'll help you.
Six days later, we loaded the gold on the burrs and little canvas bags and started down. Late that afternoon, pushing through the brush, we walked straight into a bunch of Indians. I don't know where they come. Peaceful, all right. Friendly.
but they wanted help.
What do you mean, help? What kind of help?
They've been heading for Durango. Seems like a little boy in their village fell into the river. They fished him out, but he won't come to. He ain't dead, but they say he just won't come to.
Oh, that's tough.
Well, they want me to go back to the village with them. Ain't far. Maybe I can do something.
Why?
Was I to refuse them? They'd make me go. I'll be back soon, before morning, probably.
And if you're not?
I'm leaving my burrs with you. Look after my goods till I get back.
It's okay, Pop. We'll wait for you here.
No use arguing. Sorry, gentlemen. I got to go back again to the village.
Yeah, but you just said you fixed the kid. You said he was cured.
Yeah, fixing the kid was simple. Artificial respiration, a few Boy Scout tricks. But they say I got to visit them with... Well, I got to go with them. Their gods will be angry if they don't show their gratitude to me.
Tell them to forget it. They don't owe us a thing.
I tried. Just made them mad. Well, that's them over there waiting for me.
I'll handle this.
Avi hombre, no puede quedar. No, no.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Don't you touch your gun. Don't touch your gun or we'll be scalped in half an hour.
El señor no importa. El doctor, si importa.
Yeah, what's he saying now?
Well, he says it makes no difference about you guys, but I've got to go back with him.
Oh, it's like that, huh?
Yeah.
They just want you.
Looks like it.
Well, go on then. We'll meet in Durango.
Well, what about my goods?
Take them with you.
If they found out, they might forget he was their honored guest and bump him off, huh, Pop?
Well, what'll I do? Dump him out here on the ground?
We'll take him with us if you want us to.
Well.
Any better ideas, Pop?
Yeah, I reckon that's about the only solution.
I'll bet you remember this the next time you try to do a good deed.
Don't worry, Pop. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be lonesome without you, Pop. Look out for those Indian dames. One of them squaws might marry you.
Yeah, maybe I'll do just that. Pick me out a good-looking squaw and marry her. They're easy to dress and feed and entertain. Well, so long, partners. See you in Durango. And so I left them and went back to the Indians. No choice. I had to go. And behind me, in the keeping of Curtin and Dobbs, was my share of the treasure, $35,000. I knew they'd have a time of it. Just as hard going down them mountains as it was going up.
I'm stopping here for tonight. You hear me, Curtin? I'm stopping here.
It's early yet. We can wake 4 or 5 miles before dark.
Well, go on then. Take his burros with you. It ain't my responsibility.
Since when?
Give us nothing but trouble for 2 days. Straying off trails, smashing their packs against the rocks. He knew what he was doing when he turned them over to us. Mighty cute of him, wasn't it?
So you're staying here for the night, huh?
Yeah, you heard me.
Well, if you can't go any further.
Well, who says I can't? They don't make me laugh. I go 4 times as far as a mug like you, but I don't want to. I could if I want to. I want to, but I don't want to. See, mug?
What's the use of hollering, Dobbsy? Okay, we'll camp here.
How far do you suppose the railroad is from here?
Well, it's hard to say. We'll reach the high pass in 2 days more and get fresh water. After that, I don't know. What's a joke, Dobby?
I was just thinking what a bonehead play that old jackass made when he put all his goods in our keeping. Figured he'd let us do his sweating for him, did he? Well, we'll show him.
We'll show him what?
Can't you see it's all ours now? We don't go back to Durango at all. Nowhere near Durango.
Steal his goods?
Where'd you ever grow up? Sure. Take his goods and go north. Leave the old jackass flat.
Now, look, you don't really mean that.
Fred C. Dobbs don't say nothing he don't mean.
As long as I can do anything about it, you won't take a single grain of the old man's goods.
So you want to take it all for yourself and cut me out?
Well, you're out of your head. I'm on the level with the old man, same as I'd be with you.
Oh, sure. For a long time, I've had my suspicions about you, and now I know I've been right.
What suspicions?
Bump me off. Bury me out here in the brush like a dog.
Oh, you're crazy, Dobbs. You're out...
And you'd have not only the old man's good, but mine in the bargain. You'd have yourself a big laugh, wouldn't you? Thinking how dumb the old man and I were. Put your hands up, Curtin. Go on, put your hands up.
Dobbs.
Was I right or was I right? Go on, stand up, get on your feet and take it like a man. Trying to put one over on Fred C. Dobbs.
Pull a gun on me, huh? Pull a gun on me. Only now I got the gun and you listen to me.
Go on. Pull the trigger.
Oh, Dobbsy, look, you're all wrong. I never intended to rob you.
You really mean that? Then give me back my gun.
Look, wouldn't it be better the way things are to split up? I mean now, tonight.
Yeah. And that would suit you fine, wouldn't it? So you could fall on me but from behind, shoot me in the back.
All right, then. I'll go first.
Yeah, wait for me on the trail. Ambush me.
If I meant to kill you, why wouldn't I do it here?
Because you're yellow. You're yellow. You haven't got the nerve to pull the trigger when I'm looking you straight in the eye.
You really believe that, don't you?
Jokes. Full of jokes.
Well, then we won't separate. We'll go on together. And every day you'll take the trail right ahead of me, and every night I'll tie you up.
I'll tell you what, Kurt. I'll make you a little bet. 3 times 35 is 105. I'll bet you $105,000 you go to sleep before I do. How long can you go without sleeping, Curtin? 2 days? 3? 4? Whatever it is, I can go longer, see? And the day you fall down on the trail, that's the day that Fred C. Dobbs wins his bet. $105,000. Just like I said, Curtin, you couldn't take it, could you? Fell asleep, didn't you? Who wins the bet? Ha ha! Who wins the bet?
The old man will catch up with you. He will.
Oh, he will, Willie. Well, I got an answer for that one, too. I'll tell him you tied me to a tree, that you stole all the good, yours, mine, and his. So he'll be looking for you, Curtin, not for me. And a fat chance he's got of finding you. So long, partner.
We pause now for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
During this brief intermission before Act 3 of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, I'd like to introduce the most promising young player, blue-eyed Claudia Barrett. Do you find it all work and no play on the Warner Brothers lot, Claudia?
No, indeed, Mr. Keeley. In fact, watching a Technicolor picture like My Dream Is Yours being made is entertainment in itself. I've been humming the songs ever since.
And fine entertainment it is. You know, Jack Carson is a radio talent huckster and Doris Day as a singer are delightful.
It's especially good fun when Lee Bowman gives Jack some real competition for Doris's affection.
You know, so many places of local interest are featured. Los Angeles people should feel right at home.
And the clothes in My Dream Is Yours. They're really dreamy. Doris wears some pink crepe pajamas with a matching quilted robe. They're out of this world.
You mean they're not for a workaday world?
No, that's what surprised me. The designer told me that the crepe they were made of is definitely washable. Oh, with Lux Flakes, that is.
I'm glad you added Lux Flakes, Claudia. Because wrong washing methods could easily spoil the delicate color.
I know that, Mr. Kennedy. I play safe and stick to Lux Flakes for my nice things.
Good girl. Well, you know, scientific tests prove that slips and nighties washed with Lux Flakes stay color fresh 3 times as long. These tiny diamonds are really amazing. They burst into suds the instant water touches them. Thick, active suds that leave undies sweet and fresh in no time. Yet they leave colors lovely.
I guess.
Curtain rises on the third act of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart as Dobbs and Walter Houston as Howard.
Thank you.
left Dobson Curtin on the trail with all my goods and gone to the village of the Indians. And they couldn't do enough for me. Food, drink, for little girls to brush flies off me. Yes, sir, old man Howard is a regular mogul. Real potentate. Then some of their hunters came in from the brush. They were carrying a man. Curtin it was. Curtin, with two bullet holes in him.
Dobbs did it, Howard. Dobbs.
Yeah, made off with our goods, sir.
How could he be such a bad shot? He left me there. He thought I was dead.
Now, take it easy, son. Take it easy. You're talking too much.
Don't worry about me. I'll pull out of this if only to get that guy.
Well, I reckon I can't blame Dobbs too much.
What do you mean?
Well, Dobbs ain't a real killer as killers go. I think he's honest the next fella, almost. Big mistake was leaving you two fellas alone in the wilderness. Mighty big temptation, partner, believe me.
Dobbs shot me down in cold blood. He shot me a second time just to make sure.
A man goes crazy with that much wealth in his reach. Maybe if I'd have been young, been out there with either one of you, I might have been tempted too. Well, Curtin, nothing to do but set out after him.
A couple of days, I'll be okay.
Yeah, but not for chasing down a mountainside.
The Indians, they could loan us horses.
That's why I figure I'd catch Dobbs. He'd go as far and as fast as a man can, but alone, with them burrs and on foot.
I'm going with you.
Give me 10 days, 2 weeks, and I'll come back for you.
I'm going with you.
Look at you. You're weak as a newborn kitten. Don't worry. I look after our interests.
I'm still going.
Yeah, I reckon you're going. Some of the Indians came with me. Said they had to protect me. I tried to figure out what I'd do with I.M. Dobbs' boots. I'd try to make time. I'd sacrifice anything for time. Sleep, rations, even water.
Otro burrito muerto, señor. El tercer con la marca de la letra.
Howard, what have they found?
Another dead burro. Dobbs is really driving. That's the third burro he's killed off.
I don't like this wind. Dust blowing like this cover up his trail.
Yeah, it might blow like this for days. Fills a man's lungs with dust. Burns him out like pure poison.
We're not going to stop, are we? Dobbs won't stop.
We'll keep going. He'd be running out of water soon.
We were going to fill up at the high pass.
Yeah. When he went north, my friends say there's water's mighty scarce in the north. They say something else, too, Curtin.
Yeah?
Yeah. Gold Hat and a couple of his pals escaped the Federales. They're on foot. They passed here just a day before Dobbs.
There he is, amigo, see? At the mud hole. One man and six burros trying to squeeze water out of the mud hole.
Aye, six burros.
Shoes he wears, see? Shoes.
See, the three of us have a little fun, huh? Jewelry too, maybe, huh? Come on, we say hello to our friend.
Water. Water. I made it. I made it. Town can be far off now. A road. That's a road over there. Just one more day and...
Wait, amigo.
What? What do you want?
Señor, we are three poor men in rags. Cigarettes? You have cigarettes, maybe?
No, I haven't. I got a little tobacco, so that'll do.
He's got a little tobacco.
No paper to roll it in?
Paper. Yeah. Yeah, here.
Going into Perla, amigo?
Yeah, I gotta sell my burros. I gotta get some money.
Matches or cigarette?
Matches, yeah. Here.
Your hand shakes, amigo. You sick, maybe?
Sick? No, I ran out of water. I'm all right now. I could use a good burro driver, maybe two or three.
Burro drivers,
huh? I'll pay when we get to town. I'm a hunter. See all those hides?
Hey, did I know you from someplace? Maybe I know you, huh?
No, I don't think so.
You are all alone, a poor, lonely man?
No, I'm not alone. I got a couple of friends coming along. They ought to be here any minute.
Let me look at your face. Sure, I know I've seen you before. Up in the mountains. The guy in the rocks before the Federales chase
us. Crazy, I never seen you till now.
You don't remember me? Me with the yellow sombrero, the gold hat? But then you tell a lie.
No,
so you have a load of hides on the burros, huh?
Yeah, like I said, I'm a hunter.
Ought to bring lots of money, huh? All these hides.
Now get away from them. Get away from them hides.
Oh, we can sell these burros, too.
Hey, watch these. A little cloth bags filled with something. Hey, give me a knife. I think I look in the little bag.
You touch those bags and I'll kill you.
Hey, some kind of joke. Nothing in this bag, only sand, dirt. All the little bags got only sand.
Get out of here. Clear out before
a pistol, huh? For you can't even frighten a sick louse with that. You can only shoot one of us before the other two jump on you. And that one wouldn't mind too much because the federales are after him anyway.
Stand back there, stand.
Hey, with the rock! I hit him with the rock!
His shoes? I gonna get his shoes?
Finish him off. Come on, finish him.
How you feeling, Curtin?
I'm all right.
Town is over the hill there, Perla. We're almost there.
But will Dobbs be there?
Yes, sir. That's the question, all right.
Shooting?
Yeah. Kind of like a volley. Sound seemed to come from the town.
Miranda, senor. He does los federales y los confundidos.
Si, federales. Execution, probably. Well, we'll know about it pretty soon now. We guess it all right, Curtin. Execution. 3 bandits. Storekeeper here says that one of them was Gold Hat. They finally got him.
Yes, eso no es todo, señor.
He says that's not all.
Look, we better keep after Dobbs.
Yo tengo malas noticias, señor. Su compañero.
Bueno, amigo.
Su compañero fue matado a sangre fría por los 3 banditos.
He's dead, Curtin. Dobbs is dead.
Dead?
Yeah, those bandits.
But our goods. What does he say about our goods?
¿Dónde están nuestras cosas?
Aquí, señor. Yo tengo todo aquí, incluyendo los burritos. Están detrás de la tienda.
He says he's got everything. This way, Curtin, the back of the store.
It's not here, Howard. The gold's gone. Everything else is here but the gold.
Keep your shirt on. Señor.
¿Qué pasa, señor?
¿Sabe algo sobre unas costelitas muy pesadas?
No, señor, no. De eso no son nada.
Well, says everything the bandits had is right here.
Señor. You asked my father about some little canvas bags?
Yeah. Where are they?
Costalitos, ma de qué habla, hijo?
Un momento, papa. I do not know where the bags are, señor, but I heard the bandits talking in the jail. They said the señor whom they killed had canvas bags with sand in them. Many, many bags on the burros.
Well, where are they? Where did they kill the American?
At the water hole by the ruined wall, outside the town.
Can you take us there?
Oh, yes, señor. Right away.
Another one, Howard. Empty. The bags are all empty. They're cut open and empty.
Keep looking.
Yeah, they're all... Yeah, they're empty, all right. Another couple of hours in this wind and we wouldn't even find the bags. Swept away and buried under the dust of the earth.
But what happened?
Bandits. Them miserable, stupid, ignorant bandits. Stole Dobbs' shoes, took the shirt off his back and... threw away $105,000 worth of gold because they thought it was sand.
Well, then it must be here on the ground somewhere.
Here in this wind? Ha! Ha 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 ha! It's a great joke, Curtin, old boy. It's a great joke. Played on us by the Lord or fate or nature, whatever you prefer. But whoever or whatever played it certainly had a sense of humor. The gold is gone, Curtin. Gone back the way we found it.
Gone. It's all gone. Dobbs is dead and the gold is gone.
This joke is worth ten months of suffering and labor, this joke is.
Look at the Indians. They're laughing too, and they don't know what they're laughing at.
That's our own private joke, Curtin, old boy.
Well, Howard, what next, I wonder?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm all fixed. I'll go back with the Indians, be a medicine man.
Three meals a day, five I want them, roof over my head and a drink every now and then to warm me up. I'll be worshipped and fed and treated like a high priest for telling people things they want to hear. Good medicine men are born, not made. Come and see me sometime, my boy. You'll take your head off when you see how respected I am. Yeah, I'm all fixed up for the rest of my natural life. How about yourself? What are you aiming to do?
I haven't got any idea.
You're young yet. Got plenty of time to make three or four fortunes for yourself.
You know, I'm really no worse off than I was back in Tampico. I'm out a couple of $100 when you come right down to it. Not very much compared to what Dobbsy lost.
Any special place you're bent on going?
No. All places are the same to me.
Tell you what. You keep my share of what the Burrs and the Hydes will bring, and if you use the money to buy a ticket to Dallas, see Cody's widow. Better in writing. Tell her what happened.
Okay, Pop. I'll go to Dallas.
Hey, you son. Come here.
Yes, senor?
Tell your father to give this man all the hides and burrs. They're all his now. I'm going off with the Indians.
Yes, senor. I will tell him.
Well, I guess I'll round up my heathen brethren and we'll be on our way. Bye, Curtin.
Bye, Howard.
Good luck.
Same to you.
Our stars will return for their curtain calls in a moment. Here's Mr. Keeley with our stars.
For drama that rates the applause of this audience, our thanks go to this evening's stars. And here they are, Humphrey Bogart and Walter Houston.
Thank you, Bill. You know, there's not much glamour available for this curtain call.
Don't look at me, Bogey. That's your department.
All the glamour in my family is home looking after the baby, Walter.
Well, we'll settle for a man that's just won an Academy Award. Walter, it must have been a double thrill to win your Oscar the same night your son John won his for direction and the screenplay of the same picture.
Yes, I was very proud of that moment, Bill. You see, a long time ago, I told my son that if he ever became a director, to please find a good part for his old man.
I want to speak the same lines to my son, Stephen, tonight. In another 30 years, maybe he'll do the same for me.
Well, you know, to help things along, we've got a supply of Lux Flakes over there in the wings. You can take it home to him.
Thanks very much, Bill. He's the boy that can use it.
Hey, Bill, what are you producing next week?
Well, it's a musical hit with a thrilling story. The 20th Century Fox picture, When My Baby Smiles at Me. And the stars, well, who else could they be but Betty Grable and Dan Daly? That's all anybody needs to know, that next week we'll have the wonderful team of Betty Grable and Dan Daly.
Hey, that sounds like standing room only. Well, good night, Bill.
Good night.
Good night. And that applause says it all. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday evening, when the Lux Radio Theater presents Betty Grable and Dan Daly in When My Baby Smiles at Me. This is William Keeley saying goodnight to you from Hollywood.
Humphrey Bogart is currently starring in his own Santana production, Knock on Any Door. Heard in tonight's cast were Frank Lovejoy as Curtin, Gerald Moore as Cody, Don Diamond as Gold Hat, and Bill Johnstone, Jimmy Ogg, Jack Petruzzi, Charles Latour, Jack Crucian, Jay Novello, Eddie Marr, and Johnny McGovern. Our play was adapted by S.H. Barnett, and our music was directed by Louis Silvers. This is your announcer, John Milton Kennedy, reminding you to join us again next Monday night to hear When My Baby Smiles at Me, starring Betty Grable and Dan Daly. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hi, I'm Anderson Coleman. This is WHFR.FM.
Hear Blues with the Feeling on Saturdays from 8 to 10 p.m. Enjoy blues that are hard to find but easy to listen to every Saturday. Keep it locked to 89.3 FM.
He does a very interesting show. Check out Anderson Coleman on the weekends. And that's going to wrap it for today's Radio Vault Extravaganza. We just heard The Treasure of Sierra Madre from the Lux Radio Theater, Humphrey Bogart and the whole cast from the original film, as always, featured on Lux Radio Theater. Well, we'll do this show again in another week. And you could join us Sunday nights between 9 o'clock and midnight for the spine chillers, the detective shows, the suspense, all of that stuff on Sunday nights. Right here in WHFR, we're going to get the heck out of here, and we'll talk to you again soon on WHFR Dearborn. Thank you.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported non-commercial radio.